Joanna Rohrbeck of Prancercise LLC, and I'm here today to show you the four modes of Prancercise. I've got my ankle weights in place, and my music's ready. So let's stop talking and do some walking.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Just finished my feature.
What's a feature, Daddy?
A feature is Hollywood industry jargon for a screenplay. You know what motion pictures are?
Human centipede.
Human centipede, yes, Shayna. You remember we watched that film?
They ate the poo-poo.
That's right, they did eat the poo-poo. And you know what? Those people didn't just make that up on their own. Someone had a right that they ate poo-poo. That's what a feature is. That's what a screenplay is. That's what your dad just did.
And now...
My name was science.
She blinded me with science.
Our feature presentation.
Was that Buzz Aldrin?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was.
Great American hero.
Sure, that's what I meant.
By the way, who doesn't remember the special joy of sharing the human centipede with your young daughter? I mean, that's just a part of being a father, right?
Yeah, it's
there.
One of the most beautiful moments that a person can have, yeah.
Didn't realize.
You have to just, sometimes you have to do a little more explanation than you would hope. But
yeah.
Right. But, it's all part of growing up. It's all part of learning how the world works. So I certainly support that. How's everybody?
We are good.
Good.
Allie's confused. But
I'm just thinking about watching that with my dad. And
yeah.
I don't want to
anymore.
Oh,
you didn't
really
have that? Did you know?
No, it's sad.
He didn't show you that.
He didn't love you then.
Yeah, well.
He didn't care enough about explaining human centipede to you. But
it's never too late.
But not the second one, guys. And certainly not the third one. This is one case where it's OG or bust, okay? If it can't be the original human centipede, just pass on the experiment.
I don't know. Allie likes to binge watch. So I see a nice long Saturday with Dad.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, the three of those together, I bet that's like 10 hours of human centipede. That's what you do next time you're in Maine and there's a snow day. You should go, all right, Dad, it's time for us to make up for lost time. You didn't show me this when I was a little girl. Today's the day we're going to catch up.
Strap in.
We're going to
blog. Here we go.
Exactly.
You two are messed up.
Kevin, you're at a certain age and stature in your career, and especially in this city. That
I don't like where this is going.
I think it's time for you to accept the likelihood that you will be leaving your wife and ended up with a much younger, hotter woman. I mean, that's just what you do in that business, in that town.
Well, I mean, I do. That is an assumption that all men have in the back of their minds.
Yeah,
they just know that's how things are going to work out. You don't want it to. Don't look at me like that, Allie. You don't want it to. No, you don't.
It's inevitable, though.
It's inevitable, right.
Yeah, you can't fight it. There's nothing you can do about it.
It doesn't do any good to fight because it's so ingrained. So that just happens.
Look, your wife is great. You've been with her forever. You've raised a family together. But it's time to end that chapter and move on because they're still making 25-year-olds.
It's science.
It's science, exactly. Oh. Well, I got your next woman, Kevin. I don't know exactly her age, but everything about her screams, this is your future right here.
Okay.
So this is a big day for you. Her
My
name
future.
Is
okay.
Linnea Latanzio. Unfortunately, you're not going to be able to live in L.A. anymore because she lives in Central California. She lives halfway between San Francisco and L.A.
That's hurtful.
I know it is because, you got a lot of things going on. She runs the world's largest cat shelter. Cat House on the Kings. She has over 1,100 cats that she cares for. So you're in Central California now caring for 1,100 cats. She started the shelter back in 1991. She went into an existing shelter and volunteered to bottle feed 15 kittens.
So you're saying shelter, so she doesn't – she tries to get them –
Adopted
by other people, but she takes care of them until then?
That's right, yes. She has currently over 500 that are healthy and ready for adoption.
And you said 1,100. You meant 110.
1,100. That is correct, yes. She'd been living on her own for 9 years after a divorce. She bought a beautiful, large house on a river, but without children or obligations, she felt like she was missing something. By the end of that first year, she had saved 96 cats. There was always room for one more, she said. Most of the cats, about 2,000 a year, come from the streets of Fresno, Tulare, or Kings County. She takes cats on demand that are deemed unadoptable by other shelters. People leave boxes of cats on her doorstep. She has an exchange program with shelters. This is her whole life. At one point, by the way, she moved out of the five-bedroom house with the river view and left that over to the cats, and she lives in a trailer on the property.
She sounds like she's an amazing person.
Yes, she does.
Maybe too good for me.
I went from my five-bedroom home with my swimming pool, bar, and view of the river to a 1,600-square-foot mobile home with rusty metal. She said when she moved into the trailer, she swore to herself it would be a no-cat zone, but she currently has 24 cats living in the trailer with her. But the rest of them are living throughout the grounds and on the family. Of course, she does have help. She does have volunteers and some paid employees that come and help her. How could you not with over 1,100 cats? She says that she and her team have saved over 24,000 cats throughout the years, and she loves it, and it's her life. But maybe she's at the point, Kevin, where she's looking for someone special too. And I see so much in common between you two with your love of cats and living in Central California. I don't know how you can pass.
I don't. I hate cats.
Oh.
Oh yeah, you misread that one.
Oh, I thought I thought this would be a perfect.
Yeah, no, cats are the devil.
You're not going to be getting up at 4 a.m. for early morning feedings and providing medical attention to ill cats? That's not going to be you?
I don't feel like. Maybe you misjudged this one. I mean, wow. I like living in the middle of nowhere in a trailer when you have a big, nice house.
With rusty things in the trailer.
Right,
yes.
Right. Okay.
And 24 cats, you said, in the trailer?
That's right, yeah. 24 cats in the trailer.
Right? And 1,100 in the house?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
And throughout the land, yeah.
All that's appealing, and if it was maybe dogs or any other animal, raccoons.
Oh, all right.
But cats, I'm not sure.
Wow.
That I'm
if it
down
was
with.
Bears, yeah, that might be a possibility. But maybe
bobcats.
Okay.
You know,
all right.
Mountain lions.
So I'm going to put you down as a maybe for right now then. But by the way, many of the adult cats already have names for their prior owners. She does have a nickname for one. She calls her Nemesis. My employees named him Afghanistan because he is aggressive. I just call him the Taliban. So that's the one cat who's 15 years old that she can't wait to die. It sounds like.
How bad is a cat that that woman hates?
Yeah.
That woman has 1,100 cats. She's dedicated her life to it, and she hates that one cat. How bad is that cat?
That cat must be a terror.
What a dick.
Yeah. Hey, Chip, maybe this is where Mr. Pickles needs to head next.
Oh, sweet.
See, there you go. Just, I'm going to take Mr. Pickles out for a walk. And then you just drive on up to Fresno and leave it on this lady's doorstep, and boom, you're in business.
Anybody horny?
No.
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
No.
All right. Well, there you go. That's Lydia Latanzia. It doesn't sound like a perfect fit, but I tried. I did the best I could.
I appreciate it. I was very excited there just for a minute until I heard the word cat. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
The most boring, droning, monotonous broadcast you can possibly imagine.
It's tough to argue. Bob Saget will be here today.
Love Bob.
One of our favorite comedians. He will be in studio. We also have the Bachelor Report. I'm starting to watch this now, Bean. I got to tell you, I'm in.
No.
I hear that America is falling in love with Jubilee. Is that true?
I'm not sure what that means because I only watched about half of it last night.
Okay, all right.
But I got to tell you, there are people on there that are straight cartoons. There's just that's not possible that they are on Earth. It isn't possible that they're a human on Earth.
All right. Hmm.
This one girl said this. I read, because it was coming up to the rose ceremony, I read a lot of romance novels, and it always works out.
Oh, right. Sweet spirit.
No.
Mm-mm. No?
No.
Aww.
So anyway, Petros is going to come in today because Ralph is off for one more day, and he's going to do the Bachelor Report. And we have Rob Corddry on the program today, who we love so much. He's on Ballers and, of course, created and stars in Children's Hospital. And Bean's dad is baffling him. Bean's dad threw Bean a curveball.
Very confusing.
Day. And he has no idea what to think about it. So we're going to discuss, maybe get some of your ideas as well. And we'll do that in about a half hour. We will take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Chip, wow, that was aggressive.
Not appropriate. I don't feel like that was necessarily something that you need. I'm not positive that's the song.
I don't think that fit.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:55.
As you mentioned, Ralph is still at Park City, Utah at the Sundance Film Festival. He'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, Allie's filling in on the Showbiz Beat for another day. What's going on?
You guys know that Arnold Schwarzenegger is taking over as the coach, boss, whatever it is, on The Apprentice.
Yeah.
It's going to be out in September. They have their first contestant, you guys.
Okay.
Can I get a drum roll?
Yeah.
Vince Neil, the lead singer of Motley Crue.
Yeah, he's a good kid.
I mean,
I don't know that. I don't know.
I mean, don't you wait until there's a bigger name to announce the first contestant?
That's a pretty big name for that show.
Yeah, I think so.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it is. That's a pretty big recognizable show.
I think you forget
for
most of the contestants on those shows.
I think I do.
You almost never heard of. That's not terrible.
Wow.
It's not terrible.
It's not going to sell the show. I mean, they're going to need a lot more, but.
He's got a fan base. That's fine.
I'm more worried about Arnold than anybody else.
You are?
Yeah. He's not a host.
Are you going to watch?
Let's be honest. Yeah, I'll watch the first time, see how it goes. Right. Yeah.
September. You've got a date.
All right.
Good stuff. Well, straight out of Compton's Corey Hawkins, he played Dr. Dre. He's having a very good year. He's got a recurring role on The Walking Dead. He plays Heath. And yesterday, Fox announced that he'll be taking over for Kiefer Sutherland's starring role in the upcoming 24 Legacy spinoff / reboot. Not bad, right?
All right.
24 without Kiefer Sutherland, is that what we're talking about here?
That's what we're talking about.
And we're okay with that?
Well, let's see how it goes.
Yeah. I didn't watch it.
You never watched 24?
Never, yeah, not once.
Love that.
I know.
And it is really due a lot to Kiefer, but, you know. Who knows? Who knows?
All right. He's going to play a former U.S. Army Ranger and a veteran who gets pulled back into action when terrorists come from his past looking for him. Ooh. Right? You in? I don't.
Sure.
All right. This is something that I think will interest a lot of people. And if you don't watch this channel, you should, because it's all about murder. There's a new special on making a murderer subject, Stephen Avery. The show is called Stephen Avery, Innocent or Guilty. It's going to premiere on Investigation Discovery on January the 30th. Bean, have you finished it yet?
I regret to say no, I've not gotten back to it. I know, it's insane. I want to. I could knock it off in a night. I only have 3 episodes left, but... You know, I'm swimming uphill with all this.
True.
All this TV I'm trying to watch.
Lots to
which
do.
Is tough.
Yeah.
That's interesting because I don't know anyone that started Making a Murderer that didn't look forward to finishing. Like every episode, they're like, okay, one more before I go to bed. But you were able to put it away.
Part of it is also that I'm watching with my wife, and she's a little bit of a tougher sell on shows like that. She's not a fan of bad things. Bad things happening on shows. She likes funny, light.
Right. Might I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Watch it without her.
If you're watching a show with your wife that she doesn't want to watch.
Mm-hmm. No, she does, so but she has to be in the right mood for it. She has to be in the right mood for it. That's all.
Okay.
We'll finish it. I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. Okay. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with the case next.
All right.
Interesting.
Keep going like no one heard that.
Okay. I don't know if you saw this trending yesterday, but people were all up in arms about Woody Allen and his casting choices for his TV series that he's going to be doing on Amazon. 6 episodes in the series, half hour each, starring Elaine May, wonderful actress, and Miley Cyrus. Huh. Was that a horse?
That was a llama.
A llama?
Llama.
That was a,
yeah.
Because of her teeth?
Yeah, that's a side effect we played for a long time for Miley, yeah.
Huh.
And people are concerned because she seems a little young to be in a show?
Sure.
What do you mean? What was the criticism?
People were assuming that she'll be his love interest, which is funny because I don't even know if he's going to be on the show.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of
she's
people...
She's way too old.
Also, right. I think a lot of people also just question Miley Cyrus. They don't see her as an actress, which is interesting because that is what she is.
I can't remember the movie that I just saw her in like a month or two ago, mm-hmm. and she was fine.
Yeah.
I was surprised, like, oh no, there's Miley Cyrus, and she was perfectly fine. So, I don't know. Maybe she can pull it off.
Bean's a huge fan.
Yeah. Oh, he loves her.
Nothing from Bean. This
I'm not sure he's paying attention.
Yeah, no, I am. I'm not sure what you want me to say. I mean, I don't know anything about this show. I think, you know, you cast the right role. I think she'll be fine.
Nothing but chatting when Ralph's in.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing. All right. These stars all born on today, January 26th. Eddie Van Halen, 61. Hockey legend Wayne Gretzky, 55. Ellen DeGeneres, 58. Chargers linebacker Manti Te'o is 25. And Kid President, you know him on YouTube. Cute kid. He is 13. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the show with Speed.
Comedian actor Rob Corddry joins us later this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Don't forget, keep listening at 9 o'clock this morning. You get a chance to get on the standby boarding list to go see the band Weezer in Amsterdam. The qualifying prize is not too shabby either. It's Weezer, Panic at the Disco, and Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness. Talk about three great live bands on the same bill, by the way.
Yeah, agreed.
That is going to be fun. That is on August the 6th at the Irvine Meadows, one of the final shows before they tear that place down. And 9 o'clock this morning, then noon, 3, 6, and 9 tonight, your chance to qualify for the trip to Amsterdam.
If you win that trip to Amsterdam, by the way, you have to visit the Banana Bar. That's our recommendation. We've been there, and it's fantastic.
For drinks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sure, for whatever.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Bean, what are you upset about? What's the problem with your dad emailing you?
Oh, I don't know that I would classify it as a problem. It's just confusing to me. That's all.
Confusing. Now, do you have an email relationship with your dad?
Yes. Okay. My dad and I do email each other. Certainly not frequently, not even every week, but it's not uncommon for me to hear something from my dad.
Okay.
And I don't know. I got this email from him Sunday night, and I don't know. I'm so confused as to why he sent it. I guess that's what it is.
Okay.
And I'm also confused as to what to write back, because here was the extent of the email. You get an email from your father, and the subject line is Super Bowl. All right? So far, not that unusual. It's a big topic. He's an American. So.
Let me guess. It's not – he doesn't travel much, right? So he doesn't want to go.
Right.
He wants to invite you over.
He wants to invite me to come to Las Vegas and watch the Super Bowl with him.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. A lot of people do, you know, travel and make plans and have parties and whatnot. Super Bowl. That's the subject.
Okay.
I open it up. It's a short note from my dad, and it says, "Hi. Well, the teams are set. Denver versus Charlotte. Good luck, Chief."
Okay.
And the rest of it was?
Oh, no, that's the whole email. And that's why I'm puzzled by this, because is my dad writing to tell me who's in the Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, on the surface, yes. That's all he could be telling you.
My dad
But your question is, why would he think that you don't know?
Well, yeah. I mean, by Sunday night, this email was sent at 7:30 Sunday night. It was pretty evident to anyone who was interested in knowing who was going to be in the Super Bowl, who was going to be in the Super Bowl. And my dad knows that I don't live in an ice cave, right, without Wi-Fi. I mean, he knows that I also follow current events and that I have the kind of job where I am in a current-based environment all the time.
Is some of the conversation between you and your dad about sports, just in general?
No, not really.
None?
Not really.
So maybe, stay with me here.
Please help whatever you got, Allie. I'm excited.
He was just reaching out to his son for something that they could bond over.
Just any kind of conversation.
And you could write back, "Yeah, I like the Broncos. Who you got, Dad?" Crazy, right?
Who do you think's going to win? You could have written back
an actual conversation.
So you're saying it wasn't just it wasn't an insult to Bean that he didn't know who might be playing.
No.
But the beginning of perhaps a conversation with his son.
I know that you guys find that weird, that not everything is super like premeditated. Like, oh, what could he mean by this email? He was just emailing you to reach out.
But then
why
didn't it say, "Hey, I like the Broncos. What do you think?"
That's your role. Does he have to do everything?
Who do you think is going to win? But there's nothing in here that's evident to me that that's what he's trying to do. I can see how you could, if you wanted to, Allie, I can see how I could fire back and go, who do you want to win?
Right.
But there's nothing here that indicates that that's on his mind.
But instead, you sit and stew over what could my dad possibly mean by this? Well, this is horrible. Why did he send me this?
It's not even that it's horrible. It's just confusing to me. Like, is it in code or something?
Why is it confusing? Yeah, I don't understand code, why it's confusing, though.
Now
why
I'm starting to count the number of words and letters
and see if they
match, you know, put them on a grid and see if I can figure out what other letters he means. Like, is this some sort of a kidnap note that he's sending or something like that?
You have to go to a park and there's an envelope stuck underneath a park bench and you have to grab that.
Do you know how many people would be thrilled to get an email from their dad?
They can get an email from my dad. I'll send their email addresses to my dad if they want. But
it's weird to me that, I mean, with you being baffled, there's also a tiny bit of annoyance.
Mm-hmm. It's not even – I'm not annoyed at
tiny
my dad.
Bit.
I'm just confused because I guess what it is it's so unclear. It's so vague and it's so unclear that I'm not sure what the
how is it
vague?
Was.
What is that?
There's nothing less vague.
No, it's
vague to say, well, the teams are set. Denver versus Charlotte, good luck. That's just vague as to what's expected. As to what's implied, as to what's required, as to what's requested, as to what's necessary.
All right, and this was this past Sunday night after the game?
Yes, that's right, and Sunday night.
Have you written back?
No, I haven't written back yet.
Because you don't
I'm
know how to respond.
I'm too busy wondering what he could mean by this.
I can't figure out how to do it. What could I possibly say to that? I'll tell you what you could say. What Allie just said. Dad, looks like it's going to be a good game. Who do you have? Or what do you think about Peyton Manning? And, you know, this might be his final game or anything.
All right.
When was the last time you dad?
It's like
you know,
you're
ask
confused
your dad.
As to how conversations work.
Right.
When was the last time you dabbed is a great question for my 78-year-old father.
Just saying there's something there.
All right. What does – you guys heard the whole message.
Yes.
But let me read it again because I have another question here. Hi. Well, the teams are
what
set.
What does he mean by hi?
I accept hi as a traditional greeting in the 21st century.
Does he normally start his emails with hi?
Hi is fine. I have no problems with hi, you guys. Well, the teams are set. No duh, Dad. Denver versus Charlotte. Yeah, I can read. Okay, so here's what he writes. Good luck.
Now, why does he write good luck? That
thank
is
you.
Weird.
Thank you.
Like, is he wishing both teams good luck or?
Good Lord.
No.
You both have a lot of time on your hands.
Saying,
if you
that's
are
a legitimate
questioning.
Question. I don't
who
have anything.
Cares?
I don't have. I care. I don't
why?
Have any. Because I don't have anything to do with either the Denver or Charlotte football programs.
Then that's what you write back. Dad, this email has upset me so much. Well, I can't stop thinking about it. What do you mean by good luck? I have nothing to do with these teams. Dad, do you think I work for these teams? Maybe write that.
I like it.
I wouldn't
go
do anything
off.
Like
look,
go in on your dad.
Just go crazy.
What a dick for him sending this email.
He is a dick?
No, he's not a dick at all. I'm sure it's very harmless and very innocent. But what?
Asshole.
What do you think, Allie, he means by good luck? Good luck seeing the game because Super Bowl 50 is hard to find on TV? Does he think
no.
I'm going to put a lot of money on it? Good luck. I hope you win if you bet on one of these
because
teams.
He knows you don't ever bet.
No.
Okay, then what does good luck mean?
It means to both teams. It's just a generic, here are the teams playing, good luck to them both.
Why couldn't you just write back something like we have suggested, which is, do you have a favorite? Or, you know, are you going to watch even?
I don't like it.
You don't like what?
I don't like it. I don't like it. It's very upsetting. You know, I wasn't upset when we started. I was just saying I was confused by it. But now I'm upset because now he's in against her.
He's in against her.
Yeah.
You do get super annoyed when people tell you things that you already know. That is true of being.
Oh, yeah.
Super
I would
annoying.
Sent him something about Taylor, and he's like, oh, Allie, I keep current.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, Dick. I'm just sending you a story. Sorry.
I'm not annoyed by it. Again, I don't understand why he would think at 7:30 on Sunday night of conference championship football day, all of us in the world wouldn't already know who's in the Super Bowl.
He's a dick.
Does he think?
He's a dick.
Does he think I didn't see it? What
he's
can it
just reaching out to his son. That's it, B. Not everything's this conspiracy of people like, oh, I need to understand what you mean by that.
Wait.
Just write back. Everything's great,
Wait.
Dad. I want the Broncos. That's
Wait.
It. What?
Your dad's pretty sharp.
Yeah.
He it's knows, and he knows you.
Right?
He We're, knows
he
this
knows
is going to annoy
him up.
You. Yes. He did it on purpose. to ruin Bean for a week.
Well, I am fairly rattled.
Oh. He knew exactly what he was. I'm going to write good luck. He won't have any idea what that means.
I love you.
Your dad hates you.
Oh, come on.
That's what it is.
She hates Bean. She hates Bean. Oh, my God. But she hates Bean.
Hate. Hate. Hate.
So I should just write back, well played, old man.
Yes. Yes, you should.
Mama told me, go make yourself some friends or you'll be lonely. Once I was 7 years old. Once I was 7 years old.
See, Ellie, his mom told him that he should go make some friends or he'll be lonely.
When he was seven?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But I'm just saying maybe that applies at any point in your life, right? Just so, to anyone in the room. Huh. Right.
So, his name is Lucas Graham, by the way. What do we read? He's from Denmark, I want to say.
Yes.
And the song is called 7 Years. And it's funny. We've spent so much time talking about the song off the air on the show. I'm not sure that any of us have ever actually listened to the lyrics. But apparently, he smokes weed at 11 and starts drinking in that song.
I didn't realize it was a party song.
Apparently, it is a party song. And then he's all lonely when he's 20, I think. And then at 30, I think he's doing a bunch of traveling, but he doesn't sound very happy about that. And then I think maybe he gets married and has kids. And then he's like 60, and it just goes on and on. But I fall asleep about a minute in. So I've missed all of that.
It's the best song ever, guys.
But it's certainly, I mean, it's kind of an unusual song for K-Rock to be playing, but it certainly is one of those songs that has really connected with a lot of people. There must be something deep going on in this song that I haven't gotten to that part yet, because people seem to really, really like it.
Yeah, we've said many different times when we do these lyric games to win tickets for concerts and stuff, we would lose all of them. We're terrible with lyrics.
Yeah.
So all I know is once I was 7 years old.
Yeah.
That's it. So that I know that Lucas used to be 7.
Mm-hmm. But then he was 11.
Now I'm out.
And then he's going to be 20 and then 30 and then 31 maybe, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39.
Omar? You okay?
We get
40.
Right.
I feel like we know how time works. So maybe don't sing so much about it.
You guys don't get it.
Now, DJ Omar Khan, why are you in here? You don't usually come in to weigh in on the songs. What's on your mind, Simon?
Well, this song, just, you know what, it touched me very deeply. Okay. It really, really, you know, inspired me to actually pay tribute, homage to the song, because...
Homage.
Homage.
Well played. It's a different Omar than we used to, right?
Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, sensitive. The songwriting, the vocals, everything to me is just great in the song. I just love it. And you know me, I'm all about love.
That's true.
So it really inspired me to write my own song to the tune of 7 Years. And, you know, I was so inspired and... you know, my heart was really in it, and I knocked it out really fast. It just came. It just flowed through me.
Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome. So I hope you guys enjoy this song by DJ Omar Khan, inspired by Lucas Graham, 7 Years.
Once I had a bad cold, my mama told me, go take your NyQuil and make yourself hot tea. Once I had a bad cold. I felt like crap, and I was getting sicker. Don't want to be too graphic, but I was making a muddy river. Please help me, I can't plug it, my butt's a big geyser. And so I'm hoping I can make something that looks like Snickers. Once my call was put on hold, my daddy told me, you'll be on hold for a while and be lonely. Once my call was put on hold. The cable company, so I started calling them to see what they could do for me, and they picked up the phone and said right back we'll be, but I was on hold for a long time. That's the point of this story. Once my house had mold, that's a story I got told, and I couldn't sell the house until it was mold free. Once my house had mold.
Mold? What are you talking about mold? I bought this house so I could flip it. No, you're telling me I can't?
But this house is a failure because the mold, they they tell me the repair is major. I have so many costs, we're talking supplies and labor. At least the guy across the street will make a good neighbor. Once I had a butthole.
All right. Okay, I think maybe we've heard enough of that.
There's more. You don't want to hear about my butthole?
I think we're fine. Our next guest is on two of our favorite shows on the air right now. Ballers is getting ready to come back for a second season. He's an actor on that. He's also an actor-creator, Emmy Award winner for Children's Hospital, which returned last week. Our friend Rob Corddry on the line from Miami. Hey, Rob. How are you, man?
Hey, fellas.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you. How is Ballers? How is that? We are, too. We know you're very busy working on the show. How is Ballers Season 2 going?
It's going great. It's a lot of boobs.
Yep.
Dancing boobs and butts, sitting, lounging boobs and butts.
So all the major food groups.
My character's unfortunately spared of a lot of those scenes. it's good, man. It's I'm really having fun doing the show. Like, whenever I get a new episode, I'm getting one, like the last one today, I find myself reading it like a viewer, you know, first, yeah, wanting to know what happened. So
that's fun.
I think that's the sign that we're that it's a solid season. It's ours to lose.
What is it like, Robin? We're gonna talk about Children's Hospital and about your annual charity event coming up here in a second, but what is it like when you're hanging out in Miami, going around filming and whatnot, when you're with The Rock? Like, how do people react when they see The Rock on the streets in Miami?
Oh, my God. I can't even think of a metaphor to describe the, like, it's kind of like they're meeting John F. Kennedy Santa Claus. You know?
That's like, good.
You know, like, oh, my God. Like, their heads explode.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it's that those guys, like, you know, who are just kind of cool, like they stop in the middle of the street and they're just kind of staring at him and waiting for him to look over. And if he looks over, they go, "Hey, all right, Dwayne." You know, I mean, just everybody loves The Rock.
Everybody loves The Rock.
That's why I asked. Yes.
All right. I don't mean this to be insulting.
Uh-oh.
But when
insult usually follows.
That's correct.
Yeah.
But when you're out with The Rock in Miami, do people not notice you?
Oh, that's not insulting at all, my friend.
Okay.
No. It's wonderful.
It's wonderful. Like, okay.
The thing about, I have a very comfortable level of celebrity.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not the kind of guy that's like, I can go, of course, go shopping, but it's certain places, right, where there people don't have any real filter. Like in New York and L.A., you're pretty safe.
Right.
People are like, oh, so what? Who cares? I hated Hot Tub Time Machine. But, like, in Miami, for some reason, there is zero personal space, zero anything. They're like, you're the guy from the blah, blah, blah. You know, and so it gets a little exhausting at times if you're not in the mood.
Sure.
And when you're with The Rock, he's like a shield.
Yeah.
Physically and otherwise. No, they don't notice you at all. Could not give a crap.
That's awesome. That is
awesome. It's great.
I love it. Rob Corddry on the line talking about, among other things, Children's Hospital, which came back last Friday night with a great episode. Look, who knows? Anytime something's introduced on Children's Hospital, there's a very strong possibility you'll never see that plot point again. But I love the fact that you may have been replaced by your evil brother at the hospital. And that sounds like it might have a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, we went to the trouble of actually carrying on the storyline from the finale last season. So
yes, that was a surprise.
I will say, don't be surprised if Paul Scheer is not in the second episode.
Okay, all right.
Blank, blank.
That's how you roll. How many times have you put an automatic weapon in Henry Winkler's hand over the course of Children's Hospital? I mean, just seeing the Fonz just mowing down gangsters is the craziest thing, like something you never thought you'd see in your life.
Yeah, he's definitely, he shot a lot of guns. As Hubel's character says, we all have, more than any doctor should or would ever be called to.
Yeah, you've killed more people than you've saved.
I'd like to get a count for you.
Yeah, you're in the negatives.
It's true.
You've caused more death than health.
Yep. Yep.
Congratulations on that.
Not an exact science. Right?
All right, Rob, you're coming back to town this weekend. I know it's an important event that you do every year, the benefit for the Ivanhoe Elementary. Now, why should our listeners care about your kid and his dumb school?
Because they like comedy.
Okay,
right. Good.
That's all. Listen, you got your own kids. They got their own deals. But, you know, we got Kevin Nealon. We got Greg Fitzsimmons.
Funny.
We got the Sklar brothers, a whole host of amazing comedians. I'm doing a bit, and there's going to be food and drinks, and then there's going to be dancing afterwards. It's going to be such a good time.
You got Pete Holmes, you got Al Madrigal, you got quite a lineup.
Yeah, we're going to have a surprise guest as well.
Who's that?
It is. Wait a minute.
She almost got you.
So close, Allie. Well played. So this is a fun night of comedy and food and dancing with a lot of great people, like you mentioned, hosted by the Sklar Brothers. It's going to be at you can buy your tickets at eventbrite.com. That's Eventbrite, B-R-I-T-E, not spelled the way you were taught. Tickets start at just $50, and it's going to be the L.A. River Studios this Saturday night. This is something that you do every year that I know is a great, great event, and it's open to anyone, right? Anyone can buy a ticket and come on down.
Anybody, yeah. Because it's a public school, and we're literally use this money to buy like pencils and toilet paper, you know, because the schools are so underfunded, and it's a really neat event for a great school.
It's sad that that's what the money goes to.
Yeah.
You know,
toilet paper?
Yeah, I mean, instead of like new computers or something,
right. Or a trip to Costa Rica or something like extravagant, you know?
No. They'll get I think they have like an iPad for each student in the fourth grade, and fifth grade. The other kid, you know, if you're younger than that, you're just dumb.
Okay.
Right? You can't work your fingers and your boop, 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 boop. It's useless anyway. But toilet paper.
Everybody needs it.
Everybody needs that.
That's
right. You gotta wipe your bums.
That's
right. You gotta wipe your bums.
I've heard you say that 1,000 times.
Comedy night forever. It's a benefit for Ivanhoe Elementary with a great cast, as Rob mentioned. Kevin Nealon is going to be there, and Pete Holmes, Greg Fitzsimmons, and so much more. Again, tickets available through eventbrite.com. And if you forget that, just contact us here at the Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll give the information for you this Saturday night. Rob, have fun in Miami. Say hi to Dwayne for us, and we'll see you next time you're back in town. All right, dude?
All right, man. It's always great talking to you guys. Thank you so much for talking to me today. Bye-bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:54.
Have we seen Petros here? Is he here roaming the halls, ready for the Bachelor Report?
He is pumped.
It is Tuesday. It was a very special episode. You know, it is raining Ben in America these
days.
True. I don't know if you guys are aware of that or not. But P will bring us up to speed with what we missed on last night's. Again, I want to remind you, 3 hours of Bachelor programming every Monday nights on ABC.
Yeah.
2 hours of an episode, and then an hour to talk about the 2 hours of an episode. That's what you get on ABC.
That's pretty rough.
So P recaps it for you coming up right after 7. Allie's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat now on a Tuesday.
This is something I have not experienced, and I'm not sure if you guys have, but somebody using your likeness to sell a product?
No.
Has that ever happened?
No.
Because you're beautiful and talented? Kevin, has that happened to you?
Use my face for anything.
Right.
Although, not to interrupt, Allie.
Sure.
But what was going around yesterday, Kevin, about an autographed Kevin Ryder baseball that's now for sale?
Oh, I don't know. Somebody
at a Goodwill store.
I don't know. I think Chip found it on eBay, or somebody sent her a text or a tweet or something. I don't know.
That's a hot item right there, man.
It's not the same thing, though, I don't think, Bean, as somebody using my face to sell their product.
Okay. All right. Back to you.
I wonder how much it went for. We've got to look that up.
It was at $3.99 yesterday.
It wasn't even for auction. It was just buy now, $3.99.
$399?
No, $3.99.
Oh, dear God.
And that's a ripoff.
Kevin.
I think we may have gone a little off course here.
I don't know. I'd like to talk more about this. Well, so Sofia Vergara, you know her from Modern Family. She has filed. She has filed a $15 million lawsuit. That's against a company called Venus Concept. Apparently, she went in and got a treatment. It's called the company's Legacy Skin Tightening Massage Treatment. She used it in August of 2014 in preparation for the 66th Annual Primetime Emmy Awards. She went in and did this treatment.
Had a service, okay.
And all of a sudden, they're plastering her image and likeness in advertising and promotional services.
Do they not know that you have to ask her?
Right. So it looks like she is endorsing this, and it's not good at all. Especially since this quote came out. Vergara tried the Legacy treatment, but ultimately did not like it, finding that it was a waste of time and money with little in the way of any results.
Nice.
Oh! Drop the mic. Yeah, so that's not good.
That's not good.
No.
Okay.
So a $15 million lawsuit was filed yesterday.
That sounds, by the way, legitimate.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if she didn't even like the
treatment.
Didn't
even like it. Let me repeat. Finding that it was a waste of time and money with little in the way of results.
So now they're saying, look at Sofia Vergara. Do what she did.
Do what she did.
She
obviously,
loves it.
It worked for her. It could work for you. Or not at all. Yikes. This story doesn't make sense to me at all. You know Mariah Carey and her billionaire fiancé, James Packer. They have leased a home together in Calabasas. Features a theater, a sauna, a gym, stonework imported from Italy, 18,000 square feet. Why are you leasing a home?
Yeah, I don't know. They have as much money as they need. They could buy cash.
Gazillions of dollars. And how much would you think a home in Calabasas, again, 18,000 square feet, how much per month would you pay for that property?
I have no idea how to judge that. 18,000 square feet.
Yeah.
$20,000.
$20,000 a month?
Yeah.
Bean, do you have a guess?
I was going to say closer to 50.
Add 200,000 to that.
No!
I was going to say 250,000.
Were you? Kevin?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a month? Quite a leap. $250,000 a month for the property with an option to buy. How much is this house?
Wow. I never can get my head around why people spend that kind of money on rent. I don't get it.
Especially, you're Mariah Carey, let alone your billionaire fiancé.
Right.
He's probably got that in his wallet.
Do you think that's just it? Like, let's just rent it.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't understand that at all.
Absolutely insane to me. Well, people that have a ton of money to spend, like Bean, I've got bad news for your Twitter stock.
Oh. Hold on, Bean. Where did you start with your Twitter stock?
Well, I bought it on day one, and I think I got it for $45.40 a share.
Okay, $45.
Okay. Well, it dropped more than 5% yesterday after four more executives left the company. New York Times reported that CEO Jack Dorsey booted at least one of them. Twitter currently has just over 300 million users, but its user growth in 2015 was the slowest in history. And again, the company has never made a profit since it began nearly 10 years ago.
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster.
I give a lot of thought to this.
Okay.
No, I'm serious. We all use Twitter all day, every day.
Right.
Yes.
It has become an indispensable part of our social media lives.
Right.
Absolutely.
And I don't mean we all, the audience. I know there's a lot of people in the audience who don't use Twitter, don't care about it. That's part of the problem here. But, Kevin, what would you do to make Twitter better so that more people wanted to use it? Like, how would you improve it?
I don't know how I would improve it, but I'm surprised that they're not making any money because they have started putting a lot of ads.
I don't see many, I'll tell you that.
Is it Instagram?
Yeah,
I don't see many
Instagram.
Ads at all.
Instagram. It might be Instagram that's putting a bunch of ads in there now.
Like, I mean, but
every fifth one for me is
right.
And then I start thinking about that. I think, okay, I want Twitter to make money, so maybe they need to start adding ads. That's only going to drive people away from it.
Yeah.
That's
going
to make people use it less. So, I mean, they're really in a tough spot, which is that they have a product. The people who use it love it. Most people don't use it, though. How do you get those people in under the big tent? I don't know. This is a tough one.
I don't know what I would do without Twitter.
I don't know what you would do without Twitter as well.
Right?
It's funny because I asked Allie off the air yesterday if she reads books, and she says, not as many as I used to. And I thought, I bet that goes down. That goes back to the day that
totally
now that's the book that you read every day is Twitter.
I used to read LA Times, New York Times, at least front page, that type of stuff. Now you just follow them and you get
exactly,
the clicks.
Yeah.
That's it.
Reading is for losers.
Plus
well, that,
that
is true.
That's
plus
that.
So where's my stock now? What's it around? Like 15 bucks or something now?
I think around there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not positive that I understand the market, but I would say sell.
You need to watch The Big Short again.
Okay, sorry.
All right. All of these stars were born today, January the 26th. Van Halen guitarist Eddie Van Halen is 61, hockey legend Wayne Gretzky, 55, Ellen DeGeneres, 58, Manti Te'o is 25. Oh, remember him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fake girlfriend. That was so sad and awesome. YouTuber Robbie Novak, also known as Kid President, turns 13 today. I'm Allie McKay and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
One of my great regrets in life is that our next guest is not himself the bachelor, but he's a little bit too old, a little bit too fat, a little bit too married to be the bachelor, but at least he can talk about it.
Can you imagine me with my eyes closed, just with my tongue in some girl?
Oh.
My gullet all jiggling on some hot girl's neck?
Nope. We are talking about our friend, the co-host of the Petros and Buddy Radio Show, Petros Papadakis is here.
Hey,
it's time for the Bachelor Report. Hit
it, Pete.
It's time. We got the Big P and Garman, and they watch The Bachelor, so you don't have to, man. Girls drinking, hallelujah.
Ooh.
Girls crying, hallelujah.
Ooh.
Girls crazy, hallelujah.
Ooh.
The Bachelor Report, we're going to give it to you. The Bachelor Report, we're going to give it to you. The Bachelor Report, we're going to give it to you. The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
See, it's great to be here to do this, because usually, while that song's playing, I'm dancing around in my boxers, you know, swinging around at the house.
Last week, I heard you on the phone, so I potted you
so
way up.
Good.
I turned up the volume so that you could be heard, and you were just like, because of the phone delay, there was like a quarter of a second you were off. You'd go, woo-woo!
It's a great feel. I mean, it's great to be part of this. Now, I am flying solo today.
Ralph's out today. He'll be back tomorrow.
What, is he riding a dune buggy around the desert with Chris Harrison or something?
No, I don't believe so.
Helping him steer because his hands are so small.
He's at the Sundance Music Festival, movie festival.
Oh, well, that must be nice for the elites.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Whatever. I'll just do the job and
you're
drive
here.
Up here for nothing.
You're here.
The Bachelor's in full swing. And the show left Los Angeles last night. Do you know where it goes when it leaves Los Angeles, generally? The first time it leaves L.A.?
No, I don't.
Where it goes?
Mm-mm.
Well, where does everybody else go?
Las Vegas.
Exactly. For promotional purposes, they go to Las Vegas. And there is one girl that the show's basically about. Wait, did anybody watch last night?
I watched part of it, yes.
Insurance?
I watched part of it.
Okay, Olivia.
Yes.
It's all about the trout mouth. The girl with the big, giant mouth and all the facial expressions looks like a bird might fly in there, nest, leave.
And she wouldn't know it.
She's nuts. I mean, no, she really
but
is wacky.
They're all nuts.
They're all nuts, but her wackiness is on a different level right now than the rest of the group. Things change.
Sure.
But here's Olivia and some of the rest of the girls, including the twins. You can hear them talking to each other. The twins are still involved, and this is very special because they're from, born and raised in Las Vegas.
Okay.
Imagine that, two hot twins.
How about that?
From Las Vegas. Here they are, excited about Las Vegas.
We're going to Las Vegas! And that's where we were born and raised, so it's kind of crazy. I'm just hoping that one of us gets
a one-on-one. That'd be
exciting to show them around.
I would die if I had a one-on-one in Vegas.
Okay, I'm going to whisper to Ben, I want a one-on-one, and I want to see Celine.
That's Olivia at the end. She's going to whisper to him, she wants a one-on-one.
Do the twins always talk at the exact same time?
Yes, they do.
Okay, good.
You know, I was thinking about the whole twins thing. And remember Coors Light had that promotion where it's like, and you can get Coors Light and twins.
Right, sure.
And the only reason they did that was because somehow they made Americans think that they were going to, if they drank Coors Light, they're going to have sex with twins.
Right.
And I don't think that ever happened for anybody. I venture
false
to say that not one person that had Coors Light ever had a threesome with twins. I'm just going to go out there and say.
All right.
But Olivia is delusional. She's got the false confidence of a stalker, and her confidence does wane throughout the show, if you saw that. And these girls are very impressed by helicopters.
Okay, so you put them in a helicopter and they
every
are
date
in...
is a helicopter.
Right.
Every single date involves a helicopter ride of some kind. Usually they just go on a helicopter and then come right back to where they were and have dinner in a hotel room with room service. But for some reason, whenever a girl gets on a helicopter, and of course the other girls nearby hear the sound of the helicopter, they start to freak out and they go like, oh my God, they're on a helicopter. I'm so jealous. It's like everybody on a date goes on a freaking helicopter. It drives me crazy. And do you know what else happens in helicopters? Terrible things. People die.
Yeah, but not very often.
Nobody's on, like, the helicopter sex list. It's not like the planes. It's like, I had sex in a helicopter. Most of the time you hear about, like, some rich guy getting out of a helicopter and their head gets lopped off. It's called the rich man's haircut. Just take the top of your forehead. Just clean off. Anyway, JoJo is involved in this. She's like kind of a normal real estate looking girl from Dallas, and she confessed to Ben that she was not cheated on in her last relationship. Even better, she was somebody's side piece.
Oh,
so it was never like a cheating situation because she's knew there was someone else involved.
Sure.
And now she's with Ben. She's learned how to value herself,
right?
Because there's only like 22 other chicks. And they went to on a group date. There was a talent show with a ventriloquist. There's only one ventriloquist I know. Two. The one from the Twilight Zone and Jeff Dunham.
Yeah, Jeff Dunham.
But there was another guy. This was like a fatter Jeff Dunham, like a different ventriloquist.
Okay.
And most of the girls' talent is only, you know, I don't know, publicly embarrassing themselves and their family. But the two twins did like a river dance.
Okay.
Which was cool. Jubilee, the black girl who actually's made it out of L.A. So
right. Everyone really likes her, right?
Jubilee's, she's complicated. Her whole family's dead. She's from Haiti. You can't get rid of her.
The part I saw, she was having a real hard time with loving herself.
Yeah.
She was very depressed.
They kept her around because she's a good story.
Holy crap.
But lo and behold, talent show, she plays the cello.
Oh,
it was very nice.
Wow.
She played the cello, but a creepy-ass Olivia, man.
Yeah.
She popped out of a cake and didn't really know. She looked fine. You know, she's an attractive girl, but she popped out of the cake, and then she's just really awkward after that. And I it's hard to explain. So here's the clip.
Olivia is hilarious. Is one of those towns where you want to look, but you know you shouldn't look, but you can't really stop watching. I don't really know if jumping out of the cake and kicking your legs is a talent, so I'm not really sure what Ben's thinking right now.
So, Vicky, what did you think?
What part of the talent competition did you not understand?
Yeah, that was being humiliated at the end by the ventriloquist doll.
Oh,
which is
wow.
The best in front of about 1,200 people in Las
wow.
Vegas. And when that happens, panic attack, of course.
I'm just having a panic attack. I don't want to be on camera. Why can't I just have a
running
moment?
From the cameras.
He said out there,
I'm having a panic attack.
Do you need water?
I'm having a panic attack.
Do you need water? Sit down. Sit.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Oh. She had a panic attack because of unkind words from a puppet?
Well, because she was...
it is awful to hear that from a puppet.
From a puppet?
I was made fun of by Jeff Dunham, one of his puppets, on the Best Damn Sports Show. And it still hurts.
It does.
Because they were like, ask the puppet a question in my ear. I was like, I don't want to do it. They're like, ask the puppet a question. And I was like, so you're a puppet. He's like, why are you yelling at me? And it's like, that's why I talk. Everybody's yelling. It was awful. It was one of the worst experiences.
Now, when she runs from the cameras, they follow her, right?
Oh, of course.
I love it.
And they go right up. They go right into your orifice. When you run from them, it gets worse. It's like a dog. They smell the fear. It honestly, that's what reality show. I worked on a reality show. When somebody starts crying, it's like blood in the water with sharks. Anyway, if you have twins, what do? You have a 2-on-1 and you send one home in front of the other one and her mom, right? Especially if you're in Las Vegas. How cruel is that? Next time you get old mosquito hands in there, ask him about that. You get twins, you go to their hometown, you take them both to their mother. Like they're going to be sacrificed in some odd satanic ritual.
And so their mom's
just
in on it.
Cut one right in front of the mom. Would you like to hear the twins' lamentations? I don't know. Well, one of them got sent home. I can't tell the difference.
Yes.
Here they are.
Rejection isn't easy. I mean, I know what heartbreak feels like.
Yep.
I've had my heart broken a few times, and I think that it's out there. And I think eventually what's meant to be will happen. And I know that... there's something special waiting out there for me. And it's not easy to be rejected, but
More importantly, I'm thankful that Emily does get to continue this journey, even if it's alone.
My sister might have sex. The best part is they went to one of their rooms and like it was all like pictures of her and her boyfriend, like the formal and stuff, and she just started like flipping over pictures. Like, what is this out here for? I'm putting them in drawers.
It's weird to listen to that girl talk because every sentence sounds like she only learned to speak English from watching The Bachelor.
That's
like pretty, it's one cliche after another.
Pretty universal. I would say that's, you know, I don't know if you saw the SNL skit over the weekend, but it was pretty right on. This is nice. I like this too. I mean, last week it was like a girl was like, you know, I'm here. I'm just happy and I'm hopeful. And then he said, I'm glad you're here and I'm hopeful too. And then tongues. And there's no real connection. I mean, it's all a lie. It's a lie and we purport it. But anyway, the whole episode, if you watched any of it, was strung throughout because of the trout mouth, Olivia, as a psychopath.
Right.
And her confidence wanes and waxes and wanes, and she's trying to convince herself that her and Ben have this great connection. And here is her reasoning as to why she's going to get a rose in Las Vegas last night.
This is going to work for me. I read a lot of romance novels where everything just comes together. That would be gigantor for me.
I did see that part, and God. I stood and applauded.
I was
so happy with that.
I don't know what to do for these people because it's all a lie in the first place.
Right.
I mean, people do get married and have kids, but it's because they get to know each other after this horrible show.
But she reads romance novels, though.
Yeah.
Don't people die in those?
It works out.
Who actually reads those things front to back?
Olivia?
Don't you just fast forward like Mr. Skin and read the part where they have sex?
Well, you're a dude. I don't think you're looking for the romance that she is. I did see that part. I was like, yes.
She could swallow the head of a hippopotamus. I mean, her mouth gets
it's
so
a big. Mouth.
Big mouth.
And they're going to Mexico next week.
Right.
So hopefully some heads on some sticks, some cartels. Get it cracking, you know? Maybe El Chapo in his shirt. Ow.
A date with El Chapo.
Wouldn't that be, I mean, it would be terrible, but wouldn't it almost, you know, they had like those mass graves of like 400 people because of the drug wars in Mexico. Wouldn't it be like, I don't know what happened to the Bachelor production. They just never came back from Mazatlan.
Well, we can all dream, can't we, Pete?
I'm not saying I want that to happen. I'm just saying, wouldn't it be wild, you know?
But Olivia stuck around, right? She's still.
They kept her.
They kept
because
her.
Because I think the last rose is producer's choice.
Oh, you do?
You know, I think that's gambler's choice.
Because it didn't come down to her and one other girl. Yeah.
Do you like her? Yes. Do you like her? Yes. Do you like her? No, she's crazy. We're keeping her this week.
Yeah.
Part of the, hey, do you like this? You like all this attention you're getting? You like these free drinks?
Yeah.
You keep the psychos around for us, Ben. I think that's part of the deal. And I don't really want everybody to die in a mass grave. There's good people that work on The Bachelor.
We don't think you do.
But I used to work with cameramen on The Bachelor, and they used to tell me sometimes they want to put the camera down and shake these people hard. But apparently they don't.
Great recap. Another outstanding episode. Thank you, P.
I'm going to drive home.
The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
Our friend, comedian, actor Bob Saget joins us in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. Always love Bob. Looking forward to catching up with him. But first, very excited by this B.O.B. story yesterday. Let me take you back a step. B.O.B. is a rapper. He has been on lots of songs. Here's a clip of a song you may know him from right here on K-Rock. He helped out Hayley Williams from Paramore on a song called Airplanes. If this rap sounds familiar, this is the guy we're going to be talking about.
And when your plans unravel in the sand, what would you wish for if you had one chance? So airplane. Sorry, I'm late. I'm on my way, so don't close that gate. If I don't make that, then I switch my flight and I'll be right back at it by the end of the night. That
Love that song.
It's a good song.
Anyway, very talented guy, very popular, young person, seems like a reasonably intelligent person. But yesterday he posted a picture of himself. I'm not sure where he took this, but it's someplace very cold and very icy. And he basically challenged the idea that the Earth is round. He says in his post, the cities in the background are approximately 16 miles apart. Where is the curve? Please explain this. And then it ended up becoming, hey, B.O.B. is a flat earther, and it ended up becoming a trending topic all over social media. And he says, look, there's no, say what you will, there's no way you can look at the evidence and not know, grow up. So he now is starting to get into an Instagram battle with his followers about whether the earth is flat or not. Now, look. I know there are a lot of things that people believe that are out of fashion. There's a lot of minorities. There's still a lot of people who believe man didn't walk on the moon. There aren't a lot of those people left, but there are some. But doesn't it seem like the Earth is round is one that has been fairly well proved by thousands of photographs of, I don't know, the Earth being round?
Well, I mean, I think there is science.
There's
right?
that.
There's that.
Yeah.
But doesn't this just feel like he's trolling? That's what it feels like to me.
No, really? I think he really believes it.
Yeah, I feel like he truly believes it, and he is not hearing anyone else.
He's not hearing anyone else, exactly, Allie. And I think that in his mind, and look, he's wrong and he's crazy, and I'm not trying to give him credit for his beliefs, but I think what's going on in his mind that's legitimate is he is thinking of the Earth as being small enough, like, you know, to be extreme, picture a, you know, golf ball or a basketball, that we should be able to see the curve at any point on it. If we're on the Earth, we should be able to see the curve. I think that's what he's thinking in his mind. He's not realizing the Earth is so big that the horizon can look completely flat to us, and there is still curve. You just can't see it.
But that's not a very difficult concept.
I know. Again, I'm not defending his belief. I'm saying maybe that's where it's coming from, is he can't see it with his own eyes. He can't see the curve, so he thinks the curve is being made up. Now, by the way, a follow-up question would have to be, to what end is somebody keeping this a secret? Like, why
lie to us about that?
Yeah, why does BOB think the government or whoever is trying to get us to believe the Earth is round if it's not? Like, what's in it for them?
By the way, I've never seen the curve with my eyes either.
It's a good point, Kevin.
I'm with B.O.B.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Switched it real quick, didn't you?
Neil deGrasse Tyson, the astrophysicist we all love, we had on the show recently, he said, look, flat Earth is a problem only when people in charge think it that way. No law stops you from regressively basking it in. Dude, to be clear, being 5 centuries regressed in your reasoning does not mean we all still can't like your music. So he's trying to find some common ground. And
wow.
Go, look, you're a good guy, you're a talented guy, but we're just going to have to agree to disagree on this. So we started, by the way, there are still hundreds of people in the world who are members of the Flat Earth Society who are not doing it ironically, who actually do still believe that it's all a giant conspiracy. And I don't know if it's mirrors or what, or how they think we're doing it, or it's all Photoshops, it's the photos of the Earth. I don't know.
I love all of them, though.
But we started talking about this off the air yesterday. I wonder what kinds of conspiracies our listeners believe.
Well, I'll tell you one that I know for a fact, because we hear about it a lot, is sports conspiracies where they think, oh, the NFL, for example, right now is making sure certain teams win and other teams don't. And
well,
they're
that's
trying
not
to get
a conspiracy. That's a fact. But I'm saying that's a fact.
That's one that I think a lot of people probably buy into, at least a certain amount.
Mm-hmm. That professional sports are all fixed.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
My favorite one that has come up on the show recently.
Except for tennis. Tennis is above reproach.
Well, yeah, because nobody would ever fix a tennis match.
Right.
My favorite one that we talked about not long ago, and maybe there are people listening. This is what we want to do. We want to get people to call in with the crazy conspiracies that they or the people that they know believe in. All right. If it's a conspiracy that your friends are telling you it's not true, but you're convinced that it is, we want to hear from you. Or if you've got a mom or a dad or a friend or a coworker or somebody like that who believes something crazy and you can't shake them on it, we want to hear about that as well. 1-800-520-1067. But here's the one that I love so much, and it's never going to go away as long as he's alive. And it's that Stevie Wonder isn't blind.
I've never heard
yes.
that.
It is out there, and there are a lot of videos of him seeming to walk right up to a microphone or seeming to grab something out of the air,
reacting to people that like move right next to him, like going to look at them. Yeah,
really,
it's insane.
That's awesome.
Stevie Wonder isn't blind is not just a joke that a guy put up on a blog. I mean, it's a thing that there are. I can't put a number on it, but it's a thing that there are lots of people out there.
That's a long con. How old is he? Like 65?
Yes.
I mean, that guy is really committed.
And again, I have to ask, because when you start talking about conspiracy theories and the number of people in many cases that have to keep quiet in order to keep something perpetuated, like, what's in it for Stevie Wonder? Wouldn't his life be so much easier if he could drop the, you know, the cane and the glasses and get in the car and drive? Right? Wouldn't it be so much easier for him if he didn't have to pretend to be blind? Conspiracy theory. Deadspin wrote about this yesterday, too, by the way. I believe that Michael Jordan's father was killed by the mafia due to his inability to pay off gambling debts. I mean, there are a lot of sorts of things like that where one thing happens and people are convinced that it has some sort of reason. A lot of people about the aliens and the UFOs, for instance. It just goes on and on and on. I mean, there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there.
A lot of people believe, like, big pharma, that type of thing. Like, we are actively not finding cures for cancer, right. All of that, to keep the money going, all of that, that the government knows how to solve all these problems, but we're not.
Vladimir is on line one, and we're running a little bit late, so we're going to have to take a break. But we're going to come back and start with Vladimir, because he's calling about the lizard people.
Well, the lizard people are real. What's the conspiracy there?
Well, we'll talk to him and all get some details next on K-Rock. We're talking conspiracy theories.
Looking for you if you've got one, or you've got friends or coworkers who believe in something and you can't shake them no matter how wrong it seems they are. Dear Kevin and Bean, on Facebook, Jessica writes in, my friend thinks milk is pumped with chemicals to brainwash us to believe what the government says. She says that's why they give it out in schools and promote milk does a body good. She's cray. All right, you promised we were going to talk lizard people. Give me some Vladimir on line one, please.
Vladimir, hi there.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Good. Thank you for holding. Tell us about the lizard people.
Okay, so one of my coworkers actually showed me a video of Obama giving a speech, and so they zoomed in on this one guy who just kind of stuck out of the crowd. He was a Secret Service man, and they zoomed in on his head, and it sort of morphed a little bit, almost as if it was like shape shifting a bit. And so they kind of concluded that, you know, that guy was a lizard person. And so I've heard this before, and honestly, I could believe it. I could believe that there are actually lizard people manipulating our government.
Okay, so some of the people that we look at, you're talking about like elected officials, like let's say Joe Biden, for instance, isn't really a human. He's actually an alien lizard person who pretends to be human?
Yes, yes. And I could even believe that John F. Kennedy was a lizard person, and that's why somebody wanted him assassinated, because they knew.
Now, why are the lizard people impersonating humans? Why don't they just come down and be lizard people?
I don't know. Maybe they just want to inhabit another planet, but they're doing it in some sort of long, complicated plan. Maybe they're working with the Illuminati as well.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I am convinced. How about you guys?
I'm in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Let's go to Caitlin, line five, please. She is in Long Beach here on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. Caitlin, thank you so much for calling. What's going on?
Hey, I don't believe that our cars are dependent on gas anymore.
You don't believe our cars are dependent on gas? Oh, so we have a bunch of different ways that we could actually be powering our cars, but we're using gasoline so they can make money?
No, I think we're sticking the pump into our car and we're getting gas out of it, but it's not actually gas. Do you see the tank ever being filled up? I think we're pumping air. We pay somebody because we have to be addicted to this oil, but we're not actually.
So you think when you put the nozzle in your car, nothing comes out?
Yeah.
But when you see the little drops of gas that fall off of that when you're putting it back into the pump.
Or do you?
You do.
It's a great way to deter people from thinking that.
Caitlin, here's some homework for today. I want you to go to a gas station and put in your credit card and just put the thing on. Just start just holding it and just start spraying it around the air and see if anything comes out. Cool.
Wait, then, Caitlin, how are our cars running? It's running on the actual air that we're getting from the gas nozzle?
I don't know.
Oh, you haven't worked through it all the way.
I don't know that.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't think it's
clean
gas.
All right. Okay. I like your theory, and I'm in on this one as well.
I think so, too.
Okay.
All right. I wonder if the lizard people are fooled by that or if they're too smart.
Nah.
All right. Why don't we try wow, look at this. My gosh. Let's try Danielle, line eight, please. She's in Long Beach. She's got one that's just for me.
Hey, Danielle.
Hi, good morning. Okay, so I believe that flight MH370 was taken by the American government.
This is the Malaysian error?
Yes.
All right.
Because when that flight disappeared, they looked everywhere except for the Mauritius Islands, where we have a secret base.
Right.
And so all the Mauritians were going, hey, we saw the flight. We heard the flight. It shook our house. And they never reported it.
Why would the U.S. government why would the U.S. government do that?
You know, I don't know.
Okay. Maybe everyone on the flight.
We had two hangars to hide it. And then they had a man with an iPhone who pinged out, and the IP address registered to Diego Garcia. You can't find the coordinates on the Google. You have to actually be there to find, because it's a little bit over at the hangar base.
Danielle, all the people on the flight were lizard people.
Is that possible?
Right?
Danielle, what about the people on the flight? How do you now, 3 years later or whatever it is, what do you do with those 400 people that can never, ever be released back out into the wild because they'll talk?
Well, 20-plus of them were HIV specialists, engineers. So I think they stayed alive, but I don't think they're going to be able to feed everybody else. They had to go.
So this is making insanely good sense to me.
So you think the government captured the plane and then killed all the people on board?
Well, you know, on that base, they have secret B-52 hangars.
Right.
So you can hide it there.
Right. No, and we're not saying that they couldn't have hidden it in a hangar. We're saying, why would they do that?
Why would they do it, though? And I mean, you're accusing the government of killing all the people on the plane that they stole. Why steal the plane if you're going to kill all the people on it?
Because Big Pharma found out.
Big Pharma.
Because of they had solved the HIV problem. No, no, no. We need to keep charging people for that medicine. Danielle, call me.
There you go. See?
All right.
Problem solved.
Yes.
That makes a lot of sense, Danielle.
I'm not positive problem solved.
Hey, the 562 text said we were talking about Stevie Wonder isn't really blind. Here's the theory. Stevie Wonder is pretending to be blind because people are more sympathetic toward him. Sympathy can be used to sell more records. Plus, he has everybody doing things for him all the time. It's a lazy man's dream to pretend to be blind.
All right, I'm going to go through these calls. We only have time for one more. You got to pick.
Okay.
Dan says he believes JFK was killed by the mob.
All right.
Henza says he or she thinks that ISIS is funded by the U.S. and Israel.
A lot of people have suggested that, by the way.
PETA says that dragons exist.
All right. Well, I see Game of Thrones.
Andrea says friends believe Eminem died and it's a doppelganger.
Oh! Stop there.
Yeah.
Stop
I'm
there.
I'm sorry.
Let
we
me
gotta,
finish. Let
oh,
me
really?
Finish.
No
okay.
Need.
Okay.
A friend believes Trump is a Hillary Clinton plant.
A lot of people believe that, too.
And, of course, we don't need to go to 9/11 was an inside job, but friend thinks aliens like grasshoppers visit Earth.
Oh, can we take two? Let's do two.
We don't have time for two. Oh. Let's do Eminem. Let's talk Eminem. Okay. I want Andreas, please, line 4, Fullerton.
All right. Andreas, hi. Andreas.
Yeah.
Hi. All right. Eminem is dead, and there's an impersonator who's pretending to be Eminem now?
Okay, so this is my friend.
Sure. Okay,
We're driving home from, we went to go see the filming of Last Comic Standing.
Okay.
And I thought he was joking at first, but he started talking to me about how he thinks Eminem died in a car crash.
All right.
And that there's a doppelganger posing as him for whatever reason.
Why did you ask why he thought that?
Yeah, and then he started giving off reasons on, like, if I saw Eminem on Entourage, and he's like, you can clearly tell that's not Eminem in that episode. And I was kind of taken aback and a little faded, but it kind of creeped me out a little bit because I didn't really understand where it was coming from or why they would do that, but yeah.
Okay. Your friend should spend a little bit less time worrying about Eminem being dead and a little more time worrying about Tupac being alive.
Right.
Hey, by the way, he does say, will the real Slim Shady please stand up?
Boom.
Exactly.
That's a reference to the doppelganger. Oh.
Exactly.
Oh. I'm in. You win. Good work. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Comedian actor Bob Saget next hour. Don't forget, at 9 o'clock, once again, we get you qualified for K-Rock's World Tour 2016 Destination Number 2, which is Weezer in Amsterdam. It's going to be fun. Ralph will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, here's Allie with the showbiz beat.
I need you guys to think and think hard. Where were you on August the 8th?
August the 8th.
2015?
Yes.
August 8th.
What day of the week was it?
Not sure. But if you were in Chatsworth, possibly buying a lottery ticket at the 7-Eleven located at 2871 Lassen Street, 2871 Lassen Street, and you bought a lottery ticket.
We got a winner! Oh, Nelly.
We do have a winner. And not just any winner.
Okay.
A $63 million winner that has not come forward to claim their prize. $63 million is sitting possibly in somebody's drawer. They don't know they won.
Is there a deadline?
There sure is. And we are fast approaching it. The winner has yet to come forward to collect the prize, and the 180-day deadline will end at 5 p.m. on February 4th.
Bean, are there statistics on how many people win but don't realize it and don't, or for some reason don't show up and cash their tickets?
Sure. Yeah. Every state lottery can tell you exactly how much money has not been claimed, and it's in the multi-millions.
Somebody won $60 million.
$63 million.
I think, when I remember seeing an article about this a couple months ago. I think there have been jackpots north of $20 million previously in the state of California that have not been claimed. Somebody won that money and didn't know it.
Unbelievable. But wow. Again, August 8th, it was at the 7-Eleven on Lassen Street in Chatsworth. Winning numbers 46, 1, 33, 30, 16. Mega number is 24. You have until 5 p.m. on February 4th to claim that prize. By the way, if you take the lump sum, $39.9 million before federal taxes.
Imagine somebody finding the ticket after the deadline.
Yeah.
Imagine if you came up with that ticket on February 5th.
And you went in on February 5th and you're like, please, you have to understand.
It's legitimate. It's the real ticket. This is real. I bought it. It won. No, I'm sorry, sir. Deadline's passed. I mean, you'd never get over that. You'd never recover from that, right?
No. That's a
public service announcement right there, Allie McKay. That's good. That's good tip for somebody to scrounge around and see if you've got some lottery tickets under the front seat of your car or something.
Can you imagine if you're driving right now and you're like, wait a minute, I bought one.
That's so weird.
Especially there are people who live in that area who are like, hey, that's where I buy my lottery tickets. Get on that.
But if they heard those numbers and realized that they had one from you, Allie McKay, I would say a little taste.
I don't know why you're saying it.
Very weird. Well, another public service announcement. We all heard about the Paley Fest current lineup, where they're going to have panels with Black-ish, The Big Bang Theory, Supergirl, Empire, and Scream Queens. They have added two new panels on March 15th. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
Better Call Saul.
Awesome.
And my favorite show,
Peaky Blinders.
Scandal.
Oh.
No, Peaky Blinders. I would love that.
Sorry.
Oh, but
Scandal.
No,
okay.
No. Scandal.
It's a huge one.
How great is that? But I think they actually did one last year, too. So that's kind of huge to be asked back a second year in a row. But if you want more information and ticket info, you can find it at PaleyFest.org. But just added today, Better Call Saul and Scandal. That is so fun. If you've never been to one
of
those.
It is good, yeah.
Oh, and they're so relaxed. All the stars up there, they're so relaxed. They're having a good time.
Whole cast, creators,
yeah,
writers, everybody's up there. It's cool.
It's a good time. Kevin, this is for you.
All right.
Because it has to do with ice cream.
Yes.
But it also has to do with politics. Ben and Jerry's.
I hate one and love the other.
I know, but I thought I'd get you with this.
Okay.
Ben and Jerry's is endorsing, who would you think?
Well, they are in Vermont.
That's not going to help, Kevin.
They might endorse this great senator from the state of Vermont, Kevin.
Sit down. I don't know if Allie was just half joking that it's not going to help me, but I have no idea who that.
It would be Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders.
Yes.
Okay,
yes, indeed.
Thank you.
I think they might need a different name for the ice cream. It is called Bernie's Yearning.
Yeah.
Right? It sounds like a bad romance novel.
No. Sounds like a UTI.
It's not Bernie's Burning. It's
Yearning.
Oh, gotcha. Yearning.
Okay. I don't think I want that.
Well, let me describe the ice cream.
Right.
Well, this is how it's described.
Mm-hmm.
The top of the pint is covered with a thick disc of solid chocolate. Underneath, plain mint ice cream. The chocolate disc represents the huge majority of economic gains that have gone to the top 1% since the end of the recession. Beneath it, the rest of us. So we're the mint ice cream. The 1% is that chocolate disc.
Okay, all right.
No?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I didn't.
Although I did learn yesterday that McDonald's in Japan have chocolate-covered french fries.
They do.
Really?
Yes.
Yes.
That's not just a special thing. That's all the time.
I love chocolate-covered french fries.
We gotta get to Japan.
Let's go right now.
Let's. But first, we'll do the birthdays. All these people born on today, January the 26th. Eddie Van Halen is 61. Ellen DeGeneres, 58. Hockey legend Wayne Gretzky, looking good at 55. And Robbie Novak, you might know him as the YouTuber Kid President. He is 13 years old today. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
I spoiled the moment. You're having a tender thing there, and I blew it.
I don't understand why you would think that's a good idea.
I don't know.
Let's do it again. We're going to play it again.
No.
Is
no
you
we
ruined
don't.
It.
What? That's fine. That's fine. Let's move on. Hey, I don't know if you guys saw this yesterday. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks so much for listening. But the Academy Awards, as you know, have really been scrambling. The Board of Governors of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences is their technical names. They have really been scrambling because of the controversy that erupted. And I think rightfully so, by the way, after once again this year's nominations were read, and for the second year in a row, all 20 acting nominees were white. And this is a conversation. Anytime you're talking about race, it's easy to get complicated and confusing. But it is thought that perhaps part of the problem is not that the voting membership is trying to be racist, but that they are out of touch, too old, too white, and do not respond with because they do not identify with lots of movies that are made by and feature actors of color. For instance, there were anonymous interviews, Kevin, and I don't know if you saw these in the LA Times, with several people who are in the Academy who never even bothered to watch Straight Out of Compton, for instance, because it's just not the kind of movie they're into.
That's so crazy. If you're voting, don't you watch them all?
Yes.
Who cares what you want to watch?
Exactly. You should take the responsibility seriously to watch the material that is sent to you so that you can properly vote. Right. So anyway, so they made all sorts of sweeping changes where they're changing the rules around. They're not only adding a bunch more women and people of color to the voting body, but now they're saying they're trying to weed out essentially the people who haven't been working in Hollywood for a long time. So now you have to have been working within a 10-year period, for instance, to be able to vote for a movie. And eventually what's going to happen is the old white people are going to die off. And they think that it may take a while, but that they think that they've made some moves to increase diversity, and we are on the road to recovery. So, I mean, Hollywood is embarrassed. This is a real, no pun intended, black eye for them because, I mean, it's not a good look, as our friend Jim Rome would say.
Did we have did we ask Rudy to call because –
Rudy Cisneros?
Rudy's on hold.
No.
Is he supposed to be part?
I don't have any
idea. No justice, no peace.
Hey,
no
Rudy.
No justice, no peace.
Rudy.
Hey, what's up, fool? Hey, like Kevin Bean.
Hi.
What's up, Heina? The blonde Heina?
What up, Rudy?
why are you calling? Were we supposed to talk to you about something?
Like you're all talking about like the Hollywood like racist and like so white Hollywood and like,
yeah,
you know,
that's right.
Like Spike Lee and all that. It's stupid, dog. Like the real problem is like how you like just like how you stole this country from the brown man, dog. Like when you came here and like Mexicans were already here and you took the country.
Okay,
like,
but now that might be going a little further back
Hollywood,
than
Hollywood, dog.
I'm saying that might be going a little further back than we're comfortable dealing with today.
Or is it, dog? Like maybe maybe that's your white conspiracy to not let me talk about the fact that you ganked my land, fool. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
And like another thing is like I saw The Revenant, fool.
Uh-huh.
I was livid.
The
dog.
What?
You know what I'm saying? The Revenant?
The Revenant.
The Revenant?
The Revenant.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. We know what you're talking about, Rudy.
Okay, like that was pretty much my life story, and I wrote that book.
What?
And no one like, and now they just steal it and they put it on a TV, and they're like, "Hey, Leonardo DiCaprio, like, go be in the wilderness, doc." I remember one time, doc, like, I lost my car at Dodger Stadium. It was fireworks night, fool,
mm-hmm.
You know, and like, I couldn't find my car. I was so blunted out, I was blazed,
right.
And I was like so drunk, doc. I was in the left field pavilion since like 10 in the morning,
right.
And then I was with this fat bitch named Cricket, you know, designer Cricket from El Monte,
right?
And,
yes, like, we do.
I couldn't find my car, so I had to walk back to Boyle Heights, doc. And like, it was like crazy, and like, it got so cold, fool, I had to sleep in her fupa, and it was like, she was like a marsupial bitch. And like, then I watched the movie, and then he's like sleeping in a horse, and I'm like, what are you doing, dog? Like, that's my life, dog.
It's a bear.
So you think that Revenant was stolen from you?
Yes.
I thought it was based on a book about something that happened like in the 1800s or something.
It was based on a book about something that happened in the 1980s. Dog.
Okay, all right.
Oh. And speaking of that, fool, what about Room? What about the movie Room, dog?
Well, what is it? We don't have anything to do with Room.
What about Room?
I lived in one room for a long time. I mean, the state penitentiary.
Right. She was held against her will with her child.
Really? Like, did I want to be there, stupid bitch?
Oh,
no, I didn't.
Hey,
want
to. Rudy, easy, Rudy.
What about Point Break, dog? Point Break, my friend, little Looper, dog. He was working on a costume department.
Yeah.
And he made a custom made denim wetsuit for all the guys, and they didn't even use it, and they didn't know. Like,
I'm sure Point Break didn't get any nominations either. I would imagine.
Hey, like what? Hey, what about Freddie Prinze Jr., dog?
For what? Huh? What about he's what about Mexican, Freddie Prinze Jr.?
He's Mexican, dog.
Right. Yeah, yes, but what does that have to do with anything? He has a career. He's working. He's happy.
No nominations, dog. What about Bigfoot?
Bigfoot.
You guys believe in Bigfoot?
Well, I mean, not really, but
what about the Raiders, dog? Like, how come there's no like Raiders movies?
I don't think you understand fully this.
They might make a mention of them in that concussion film with Will Smith, maybe.
There you go.
Okay, so what does that mean?
It means no nominations, like white racist, stupid, hashtag, in your face.
I'm not sure you're the guy to be speaking on this topic, Rudy.
Hey, for real, though, like, I wanted to let you know, like, what do you guys think of, like, me coming over your pad to watch the Super Bowl, Doc?
Okay, you didn't just call us on the radio to try to make plans for Super Bowl Sunday, Rudy. We were talking about an important thing. We thought you had something to add to that.
Yeah, fool, I do. Like, what about Bigfoot, dog?
Yeah, I feel like he's out.
Our old friend, comedian, actor, author, Bob Saget in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. He has a bunch of shows coming up, including the Ontario Improv this weekend. Four big shows, two Friday, two Saturday. Tickets on sale, improv.com. And then in mid-February, I want to say, the 19th and 20th, you were playing at the Brea Improv. How are you, Bob?
I'm really good. You said Shatterday, which is it's an amazing thing. I've never heard that word slip. It's a sloppy Saturday when that happens.
Could have been worse. Hey, listen.
It will be. I'm here.
Bob walked in, and Kevin, who I thought was your friend, immediately
we've become friends, and we weren't for years, and now we've become
now
friends.
Now you are, but he really came at you hard as if you're responsible for the promos for Fuller House. I mean, Kevin really like hit him hard when he walked in the door, like it's his fault.
It's some BS. Have you seen the trailer for Fuller House?
I have, with the dog.
It's just, it's a house.
Right, go ahead.
It's just the inside of the house. You see no people.
Mm-hmm. You see the house that you saw 30 years ago, 25 mm-hmm. years ago.
Sure. And then you see a dog
run
up to the door and jump up like people are coming in, and that's it. Well, that's not a trailer.
That's a teaser.
I told people that's the entire show. It's just shots of the house. It's just shots of the house and the dog that's not Comet walking around.
That's the wrong dog?
It isn't Comet.
Actually, Comet, you know, it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been 30 years. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you saying?
I got good news. A new teaser trailer just came out at 8 a.m. that I just posted on Twitter, and so did Stamos,
okay.
And so did all of us. And then the public can see it on us or on at 9 o'clock. It goes worldwide on, because Netflix now, it's the whole world. It's not just usually you'd have to wait for syndication to get to, I don't know, New Guinea or something, because we were very popular
everywhere.
In New Guinea.
I know you were.
Yeah, we don't have a dog on the show. We have a new guinea pig. I don't know, but it's a behind the scenes thing.
Are there people in it?
No, it's just that half dog.
Okay, right.
But Stamos, it was funny because Comet was also Air Bud. Back in the day.
You worked with Air Bud?
Wait, that was the same dog?
Same dog. Amazing dog. There were two of them, and they were both pretty smart. Everything was in twos. There were two of me then. That's why people were always like, why is he this blue comedian, and why is he so clean cut? Because there's two of me.
He's cloned himself.
Yeah, that's correct. From a thing that came out of my nose.
Air Bud. You worked with Air Bud.
Right. And John would be mad because, like, a dog gets a movie and none of us do. So dog was working good. Dog had a better SAG contract.
Did you guys go to the premiere of Air Bud to support your co-star when his movie came out?
No,
wow,
we congratulated him.
Wow.
I gave him an extra pat.
This is a cute thing. This is behind the scenes where they show you guys all doing all this table reads and yucking it up on
Yeah,
stage,
it was
the whole deal.
It was actually fun. It was bizarre, and it's Netflix, so there's no commercials. And I believe the first episode's 4 hours long. Mission, the Red Sea parts. It's amazing.
Efforts throughout the years to get Full House to come back, or did it just like nobody thought of it? Then all of a sudden, everybody at the same time said, "Yes, let's do it."
It never went away. It never went away from television because it was on both Nickelodeon and ABC Family. Stamos always wanted it to come back because he, as people that were on it, the cast knew that it had an iconic kind of thing, and new babies were being born, and parents were leaving them and going to work or just leaving them at home alone.
Right. Abandoning them.
They just put on the DVD set. So, and they just leave them. And so Stamos always said, you know, there's a new baby being born every day that's going to be a Full House watcher. But Jeff Franklin, the exec producer, and Bob Boyette, the exec producer, along with Tom Miller. But Bob Boyette and Jeff Franklin are also doing this Fuller House. So they just wanted to do it again. And it's the same damn couch. I mean, it's that plastic.
Do you want the same damn couch?
I did. They cleaned it.
How did you feel, Bob, 20 years ago when Full House was canceled?
I was relieved.
Really? No, I'm serious.
Well, we did 8 years. You know, we could have done one more year. There was an offer to do it at the CW. And we just it just felt like the right time for it to end.
So you were happy.
Well, no, I wasn't happy. It was emotional for all of us because it's 8 years of people that – I mean, legitimately, and everybody knows it because they've heard it annoyingly, that the cast really does love each other. And it just never left. We always saw each other. Every few years, we'd all hang out. We'd go into a restaurant together, and people were – one time we were in Malibu and let me give a – was it Tony's? Taverna Tony's or something? Let's promote a Greek restaurant.
Okay.
I had the souvlaki. It's fantastic. The moussaka. Oh, the cast of Full House. Sorry.
Yeah.
So we all went to dinner, and Tony Danza was there with his wife. And he goes, well, what are you all doing together? I mean, literally everybody, Mary-Kate and Ashley, and I mean, every single person.
So he probably, like everybody else assumed, you guys had done a show for 8 years and had enough of each other.
Right.
And we're just going to separate and go your own way.
And I said, what do you mean? Who's the Boss doesn't go to dinner? I don't understand. I would go to dinner. If I was on Who's the Boss, I would just try to figure out the premise of the show after he was gone. I still don't understand. Was he the housekeeper? I don't get it. Or was he just a stud?
I think both.
Were you, did you have trouble getting work after Full House?
I had trouble remembering my lines during Full House.
Right, well, that's obvious.
Well, no, the video show was still gone after Full House ended.
So you had a full-time job, basically.
I did, and then that was just people getting hit in the nads for another year and a half.
Which is all good, by the way.
It's not bad if they hit right.
Yeah.
It doesn't always hurt if you go right down the center line. You know, it's kind of like football. It's a quick scrimmage, and someone say something fast. But, but what happened was, boy, my riffing's just amazing this time of the morning, isn't it?
I need to remember somebody say something fast when I'm in trouble.
Welcome to Negative Improv. But it was, and then I started directing stuff because I'd been on both of those shows for a long time. I was blessed stupidly with my moronicness at 30 years old for, my God, 8 years with two shows that crossed over that were both on. And then,
how long had you been doing comedy? The whole time?
Since I was 17,
okay,
I started
so
doing
through
comedy.
All of that, yeah.
Yeah, I started at the Comedy Store, and 8 years I emceed there. And everybody was getting a show but me. And then I went to New York and did a morning program and got fired. And then because I was too hot for morning television.
Too hot.
Just too hot, baby.
Physically?
Gonna run. Yeah, I was on fire. I had a really high fever. I had malaria for 10 years. And then you had a fever with malaria?
I think so.
I think so, yeah.
I think you do, yeah. I think that's legit.
I've learned a lot today. It's a conspiracy theory about malaria. There was never malaria. But I then directed some stuff. I directed a Norm MacDonald movie, Dirty Work, and I directed.
So you're not one of these actors who ever really had it tough.
Well, I did. It was always a struggle to try to get something made, try to get a directing job. I directed like 3 TV movies. I thought I would always do stand-up, and stand-up was always kind of a hard drive for me. Boy, that's a great metaphor. That's
yeah, hard drive for you.
That's going to be great. It was a hard drive here.
Huh, sure.
We'll be back right
that
after this. Let's hear from Taco Tuesday restaurant. Well, you guys play commercials, and I was in my car. I was just I was hoping for carbon monoxide. You play good ads. No, I'm not kidding. Every single one of your sponsors, I listen to them. I'm going to buy every product and go to. What if people do that? What if every single spot you run, people literally purchase that or go there? You're just full of like food.
Hey, Bean, what's going on?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think Bob might have malaria now. I'm not sure what's going on.
Bob went off on a run, and then the guys talked about him. Like, something's wrong with him.
What should I do? Should I hit a commercial? Or
a question. Bob started referring to himself in the third person, too. Bob,
ask right? one more question. Don't do this. Don't let it go out like this. I've been Bob doing Saget this show too many years.
That's okay. This will be the last one.
You Bob Saget? You said that every time.
We'll be at the Ontario Improv for four big shows this week. It's happening Friday and Saturday night. Improv.com. 21 and up, obviously, if you know anything about Bob Saget. 21 and up. Tickets are just $25. And you can also see him at the Brea Improv the weekend of February the 19th at Quick Break. By the way, Bob's got a new movie out and a bunch of other stuff coming up, too. We will talk to him about after this on K-Rock.
Bob Saget was just talking to us about The Great White Way.
Yeah, no
play that he had.
Guys, I just
Broadway.
Got back from being on Broadway.
I said it like that.
I'm on Broadway. For 72 times I did the show.
Hi, Dum Dum. I wasn't talking like that.
Bob, how are you? And when you say you were on Broadway, meaning you went to a lot of Broadway shows when you were in New York one time.
I was on the street. I was the guy in the bay, you know, that Texas. In the G string.
Sure. Right.
I was lucky enough the past few months of the end of this last year. That was a good long sentence. To be in this show called Hand of God. I replaced an actor named Mark Kudish and worked on this play as a Lutheran minister. And
you were a Lutheran minister?
A Texan Lutheran minister. It was okay. About a puppeteer, a puppet therapy kind of a situation where you would do puppet ministry to get kids to come out of their shell. And I was the a good guy.
It's a serious play?
It's a huge comedy, and it's a dark comedy written by a guy named Robert Askin. And it got nominated for 5 Tony Awards.
Holy
and, and the gentleman I replaced, who's a great actor, I worked with these 4 amazing actors, just brilliant 18 people. A-team, not 18.
Oh, I see.
And it was the A-team. I was Mr. T.
That's pretty cool.
And, fool, shut up, fool. But I got to do this play and did 8 shows a week, and I just loved it so much.
So comedy, TV, directing, everything else you've done.
Yeah, the next thing I want to do, I guess.
Is this your favorite is what I was going to ask. Does this top them all or
I think
no?
Making adult products for people to enhance their sexual life
okay,
is my
so that's
favorite
your favorite,
thing.
But then yeah. Second to that.
Second to none. That's well. I'm talking about the ministry,
but being on Broadway
pastor,
though,
second to none
is like no other kind of acting, right?
Somebody well, say something fast.
It's pretty. That's the whole interview. I actually love. I did this thing in this movie that's coming out that I enjoyed doing. I like. I really love acting.
Okay.
And I was on John Stamos's show, Grandfathered, and.
We're asking you about Broadway, Bob.
Focus. Okay.
I mean, we were.
Focus.
Okay. I can do this.
All right.
I can focus. So they don't, I never had Ritalin as
all right,
a
everybody
kid.
Hold.
I
was
loved...
it? Follow my... Look at me.
Okay.
Did you...
Which one are you?
This is Kevin.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Did you have fun on Broadway?
I had...
That's a yes or no.
Yes.
Yes!
I had the most fun, I think, than I've had doing anything. It was 8 shows a week, and every time I walk through the door, and it's about a kid who's got a puppet that could be possessed by the devil. So mm-hmm. I'm kind of my character got to kind of be the exorcist.
Okay.
We're just trying to help this family with these actors.
I feel like there's no way that's what this play is about.
It is. It
okay.
is. It
all
is.
Right.
It's called Hand of God, and it's about a kid who's dealing with the death of his father, and it's a dark comedy, and it's got puppet sex in it, so that's fun for the whole family.
All right.
Now, it was an R-rated play,
since
I would
you
say.
Filled in for someone, though, did you get reviewed as well, or were
no,
reviews already written?
No, the reviews were
okay.
amazing.
So we don't know if you were good or not.
No, but people told me nice things.
Okay.
John Stamos came a few times to it because he
has
is,
to say nice
yeah,
things to you, though, right?
Well, he does, but he doesn't always. He fluffed me good on it. And a lot of people came and saw it that are friends of mine. They flew in to see it.
Congratulations,
know.
Bob. I mean, that's really cool.
It was really fun and to work with such great actors and such a great piece, a great director at the Booth Theater right there on Schubert Alley, which is just that's where the Elephant Man was before. Not the play, just he was
just
hanging
out there. Taking pictures with
toys. Buy a t-shirt. But this was a special thing that I'll never forget. I've done Broadway another time. I did The Drowsy Chaperone, which was a play that I can see that you know immediately. And
love that one.
That was a great one. I'm hoping that we would get to do this play here in L.A., but they're doing it in London now with an all-British cast because it closed January 3rd. I'm a closer. I close plays.
Okay.
I come in with a briefcase.
Call you in when it's time?
Just give me the receipts. I leave. I'm the guy with the dark hat that
Guys,
leaves.
We got to kill this show. How can we close it?
All right, bring it Sagan.
Two names.
Hey, you brought up a stand-up guy. It's available on February the 9th on iTunes and Video On Demand. This looks very, very funny, by the way, and it's got some great people in it. Ethan Suplee is in it. Michael Rappaport is in it. And you look to me like you are singing and playing a guitar on stage.
It is. Danny A is this actor. He's been in a lot of stuff. He's been in a movie, Club Life, a bunch of indie stuff, and some bigger movies, too. And it's his movie. He was one of the producers. And Mike Young directed it, who's actually opening for me in the clubs that are coming up because we're comedy buddies. And it's I play as a country singer who only sings songs about stalking.
Okay, good.
So it's a really demented, sick thing. Every time they cut to me, I'm just like, you know, so I had to follow her. You know, it's just horrible, but it's really funny. And it's a funny movie because this guy, Danny, plays a guy who's in the mob, and to go into witness protection program, he just ends up in Ohio in some small town and does an open mic at a club. And it turns out he becomes like an internet sensation. And so that's not a good way to hide from the mob.
No.
So,
but you want to stay off the viral video circuit if you're in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's really funny. And it comes out February 9th. And it's one of those things where it's in a couple theaters in New York, and it's on demand and iTunes and all that stuff.
Bob, can I tell you just real quickly, can I maybe apologize? I don't know, for using your name a lot. I'm just going to explain to you what happens.
I feel like this.
Bob has a charity for scleroderma, right?
Scleroderma, yes, yeah. Sir.
And I was unable to attend, but my wife went, and she bought a thing where they give – it's like restaurants donate for free, and then
wonderful.
You can take some friends of yours and go
sure.
out.
And you have a lot of friends, by the way.
Yeah, we do, yeah. So
well, you also have a wonderful wife
so we
who
went,
I've been seeing.
I know. I know. It's cool.
I mean, I just see her. I don't do anything else.
On Sunday, we went down to a place in Manhattan Beach, and it's embarrassing – the amazing service you get because you're in any way tied to Bob Saget.
Really?
Yes, like they
that's not true.
I swear to God, we walk in as soon as we stepped into the restaurant, the chef came out and he was shaking our hands. He was like, "Let's sit you right over here." And there was a long line of people waiting.
Oh,
we were like, "What
was
the
it like
hell?
Was it a taco truck?"
No, it was an actual restaurant. It was Manhattan Beach Post or something. I can't remember the name of it. But,
well done, though. Well done.
But the
and
point is
probably a great restaurant because Susan Fenniger is the chef that sets it up.
But the point is that the service that you get when Bob Saget's name is thrown out is almost embarrassing. It's like, yeah, we're good. Seriously, we're all happy.
Well,
so now I've started just throwing your name around when we go to just regular restaurants like anywhere else. I go, you know, Bob Saget recommended this. Boom! We get treated like royalty. Well, everybody should do that. It's awesome.
Well, Kevin, would you and Bean be interested in going to a restaurant business with me? And we could just, we just call it Bob Saget.
It's crazy.
It's really awkward to say your name in a sentence. Say your name in a sentence.
I'd
it doesn't
not,
sound
no.
good.
So drop Bob's name if you're
yes.
making any kind of dinner
any
reservations. Is what
drive
you're
through
saying.
McDonald's, you just go, Bob Saget's my friend. They'll throw in an extra fry.
I like it.
It's insanity.
What are their fries made
You're
of, by the way?
Here, I don't know. I don't
gold. Something delicious
gold,
and awesome, I'll tell you that.
It's heaven. And it works as a sponge.
Bob is going to be at the Ontario
Boy, can
Improv.
I can quiet a room so much.
You're a poser, man. You already said that.
I am a closer. And I bring a new meaning to the words dead air.
Ontario Improv, 4 big shows this weekend. Tickets available through improv.com. And then again in February, the weekend of the 19th at the Brea Improv. Same deal, improv.com. And Mike Young is opening, you said. So
yes, the director of a stand-up guy. I work with 4 people.
All right.
It's just one big incestuous love
Bob,
thing.
Congratulations on Broadway, first of all, conquering that.
Thank you. And thank you for getting that out of me because it was difficult
it
for me to even talk.
It was a very difficult interview, I got to be honest.
I got to go to therapy just to try to learn to talk about Broadway.
And don't forget, A Fuller House returns Netflix February 26th with 13 all-new episodes. Sounds like it's going to be fun. And I'm sure we'll talk again soon, Mr. Saget. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It is 8:54 here on a Tuesday morning. That means we're about 5 minutes away from giving you more tickets to go see Weezer, this time with Panic at the Disco and Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater on August 6th. When you win those tickets, you're automatically qualified to see them, perhaps in Amsterdam. That's destination number two of the World Tour 2016, and we'll do that grand prize drawing on Monday morning.
This might not surprise you, but Amsterdam is a fun, fun place to visit.
Really?
Yeah. Well, because of the Anne Frank house, right? Because they ain't no party like an Anne Frank party.
Yeah. Yeah, when we were there, we all went to one of those pot bars, and then Bean went to the Anne Frank house.
High.
By himself.
High, though. He was high.
Not at all.
Oh. And the Rijksmuseum, by the way, to see some of the most beautiful Dutch masters paintings in the world.
Right.
Anyway, your chance to win that is coming up in minutes. First, though, Allie's got a new look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning.
Yeah, a lot of stuff happening with Clippers right now.
Any of it good?
No.
Okay.
Not even a little bit. So Blake Griffin's been out for quite a while, was supposed to make his triumphant return on this road series, I believe, against the Pacers.
Yeah, like a month he's been out.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Well, he's going to be out for a lot longer because it came out last night. He broke his hand.
He broke his hand?
Yeah. And they were saying an undisclosed team situation.
Undisclosed team situation.
So... nobody quite knew what that meant. Well, now, Michael Eaves, who works over at ESPN, has tweeted this. Clippers forward Blake Griffin injured his right hand after hitting a member of the team's equipment staff during an argument in Toronto.
That is messed up.
Yeah. Here's the second tweet. The altercation started in a restaurant. It proceeded outside where Griffin hit the equipment staffer multiple times.
Because he wouldn't let the air out of the basketballs. That's why.
Is that a Deflate Gate joke?
Yeah,
it
really?
Wasn't good.
Okay, I'll take it.
Okay.
Back.
But how awful is that? What is happening?
Yeah, that's not good. That's terrible.
Right?
And a broken hand.
Yeah.
I mean, when he gets back, he's. What? Is it a shooting hand? His right hand?
It is.
Probably,
it's his right hand.
Yeah. Oof.
Wow. How long are you out with a broken hand?
I don't know, a month? I think, but then you got to rehab, and then you got to start shooting again, and maybe you have to change the mechanics of how you shoot. I don't know. That's not good.
Not good at all.
Well, they're paying Blake Griffin too much money for him to not be playing, I'll tell you that, especially over dumb stuff like this.
You men.
Look, I don't know what the circumstances were, and it would be foolish for me to suggest that Blake Griffin shouldn't have hit that guy, but
I don't think it would be foolish for you to suggest that. No matter what's going on.
What? But it was in a restaurant. Maybe there was like they fought over appetizer or something like that. I get it.
I'm sure he wishes he could take it back. I'll tell you that.
Sure. I want the blooming onion. I don't like that. I get
sure
it.
Sure, that's
right.
Okay.
I want just a Tabasco sauce.
That's a justified punch then.
Right?
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. So we will keep an eye on that. But Dave.
How's Dave? Anyone check on Dave?
I was going to say Dave's got to be miserable in there.
Yeah.
More so than usual.
Yeah.
Oh, we should get him a panda. Make it all better. Corey Hawkins, who played Dr. Dre in Straight Outta Compton, he was amazing.
He was
right?
Great. Yeah.
Unbelievable. He is having a very nice 2016. He has already got a reoccurring role on The Walking Dead. He plays Heath. And yesterday, Fox announced that he'd be taking over Kiefer Sutherland's starring role in the upcoming 24 Legacy.
Oh, white man can't play Jack Bauer.
Is that a movie, Legacy, or is it a TV series?
I believe it's on TV. Okay, yeah,
TV,
he's going to be playing a former U.S. Army Ranger and a veteran who gets pulled back into action when terrorists from his past come looking for him.
I love it. I love 24.
Right?
Loved it.
That guy's doing some good stuff.
Yep.
Absolutely. Not doing great stuff, but I am going to watch this so hard. January 30th on Investigation Discovery. There's a new special on Making a Murderer. The subject is Stephen Avery. It's going to be all about him, and the show is called Stephen Avery, Innocent or Guilty.
So, catch everybody up really quickly on what that was about.
A guy who was falsely in prison, I believe, 18 years for a rape he didn't commit. DNA evidence came out. He didn't commit it. Great. He's then about to sue the city, the police department, everything for millions upon millions of dollars.
Right.
All of a sudden, he was investigated for a murder on his property. Did he do it? Was he set up?
Again.
Did they frame him? because he made the city look bad. We don't know. A lot of people think he absolutely is guilty and he's in prison for a reason.
So this special is looking at it from a different angle,
I think it is. Okay. I think they're probably going to bring a lot of things to light that we didn't see in the documentary. A lot of people think it was slanted. The documentary ladies were trying to maybe make him seem a little more innocent than he actually was. So I think we're going to see a lot of that. But if you don't watch Investigation Discovery, you're doing the wrong thing because it's all murder all the time. You know how I feel about that.
You love your murder.
Oh, I do so much.
Is that the channel that's responsible for you being afraid of the world,
pretty
though, Allie?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's mm-hmm. so good, though.
Yeah.
Again, that's on January 30th. Set those DVRs now. What kind of day is that? I hope it's a Friday or Saturday.
Otherwise, you need the day off.
Yeah, it's Saturday. Sweet.
I feel like that part could have been taken care of off the air.
Probably.
Okay.
All these people born today on January 26th. Eddie Van Halen, 61. Hockey legend Wayne Gretzky is 55. Ellen DeGeneres turns 58. And you know him as Kid President on YouTube. Robbie Novak, he's turning 13. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 20 minutes till 10.
Hey, Allie McKay.
Hey, Bean.
Nice job filling in on the showbiz beat yesterday and today for Ralph Garman.
Oh, you're very sweet.
Correct. He will be back tomorrow, but we do have time for one more report here on a Tuesday morning. What's new? What's going on? What's happening?
I want to make sure that if any of our listeners bought a lottery ticket on August 8th in Chatsworth on Lassen Street at a 7-Eleven, that they know to go into that 7-Eleven and claim their prize. It's not just like
$100. We have a winner, believe it or not.
It's true, Rodney. It's not just $100, not even a couple million.
Right.
$63 million winner has not come forward to claim their ticket. And
that's
time,
a bunch of hogwash.
It's true, though. But the winner has only until 5 p.m. on February 4th to collect. Because there's a 180-day deadline,
and it is nearing.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine having a $60 million ticket and not knowing
it? So it is a Super Lotto Plus ticket worth $63 million. Again, it was bought in Chatsworth at the 7-Eleven on Lassen Street. The winning numbers, 46, 1, 33, 30, 16, mega number 24. Oh, someone's got to win that. This is very serious.
You know, it's so funny because a lot of times we hear about the smaller jackpots that go unclaimed. And by smaller, I mean sometimes, you know, $100,000 or something like that go unclaimed because people go out and they get captured by the big money top jackpot of the Powerball.
Right.
And then when they realize, oh, the ticket was sold in Ohio, I guess I didn't win, they don't even bother checking the ticket. So sometimes they miss out on the lower amounts. This is the big amount that somebody missed. This is a large enough jackpot that you would think that you'd be at a fever pitch after that drawing and everybody would be checking their tickets hoping to win the $63 million.
Is there a reason to wait? I mean, might somebody have it and know they have it?
They don't wait this long.
I mean, I think you get your affairs in order. You maybe talk to an attorney, that type of thing. Then you go and claim it. But I mean, we're nearing the 180-day deadline.
Right. Ticket is probably underneath like somebody's car seat or their wallet or something. Yes. $60 million.
You know, two of the three winners of the winning Powerball tickets from the $1.5 billion a couple of weeks ago still have not come forward.
Has the person in Chino Hills come forward?
Nope.
No, it's just the person in Tennessee, right?
Tennessee. That's the only one, yep. Yep. Only 27 days left, Allie, for the $63 million jackpot, it says here.
That was on the lottery jackpot website
on January 8th, so it's far less than that now. You're right. We're in the last couple of weeks now. This is crazy, you guys.
Well, then if that money doesn't get claimed, does that go back into the kitty for another one?
I think it goes right back to the state to waste. You know how the government is. They just set half of it on fire, and then the other half they waste.
Unbelievable. Ugh. You know when you're beautiful and you're on a hit show?
What? Oh, sorry.
You know, Kevin. You know how this feels. And you maybe go in and you get something done to your face. And then all of a sudden, a little while later, you see yourself in ads for whatever you got done. They're making money off of your beautiful face, Kevin.
Because
people
to me
are
all
like,
the time.
How do I get Kevin's glowing skin? Oh, well, Kevin does this. See? It happens, and it has happened to Modern Family star Sofia Vergara.
Yeah, she is filing a $15 million lawsuit against a beauty company called Venus Concept. Apparently, they're using her name and likeness without her permission in advertising and promotional services for the company's legacy skin tightening massage treatment, which she actually did use in August of 2014 to prepare for the Emmy Awards. But
so was somebody snapping pictures of her while she did it?
Apparently, or? She took a picture.
Oh, she did. Okay.
And posted it on her Instagram.
Okay.
So I don't know if they thought, well, obviously, she's saying she was here. She must have enjoyed it. Now let's use other pictures of her and say she loved it and this is how to achieve her
I
skin.
I feel like that's illegal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's the quote. Vergara tried the legacy treatment but ultimately did not like it, finding that it was a waste of time and money with very little in the way of any results.
Wow.
Oh, that's going to hurt.
And they now they've hired Miss Columbia, by the way. It looks exactly like her. It is so much cheaper.
And she's free.
Great point.
She's not wasting all that time in this universe.
That is a very good point, Bean. Good call. We talked last week. Ralph listed off the amazing shows that are taking part in PaleyFest 2016. Blackish, The Big Bang Theory, Supergirl, Empire, and Scream Queens. If you haven't been to one of these, you go down, you've got the whole cast, you've got writers, usually showrunner, that type of thing, on a panel, and they've got someone interviewing them, kind of going through what's happening on the show, behind-the-scenes stuff, and it is so fun because these people open up and they're so funny and you really get to see the chemistry between these different shows. But PaleyFest has just announced two new shows added to the PaleyFest lineup. My favorite show, Scandal. Oh, I love it so much. I mean, just go for Joshua Malina because he's worth it just to see anytime. He's one of the funniest human beings on the face of the earth. Scandal and Better Call Saul.
All right.
I mean.
All right.
Right? Good stuff. Go to paleyfest.org for more information to get on down there. Star Trek fans, this fall, marking its 50th anniversary, they are doing a three-day convention in New York City. Star Trek Mission New York. Right?
Okay.
September 2nd through the 4th. And it's going to be run by the same folks who put together the East Coast version of Comic-Con. So...
right.
They know what they're doing. And finally, I want you guys to go on the show because it sounds
You want us
amazing.
To go on the show?
Not you.
Oh.
Actually.
The audience, all right.
Actually, you would be amazing on the show. It is called You're Back in the Room. It is apparently a smash in the UK.
It's got a good name.
But they are coming to cast here in America. Contestants 21 and over, they want you. Here's what happens on the show.
We're all going to die tonight.
Maybe. Five strangers team up to try to win a cash prize by completing incredibly simple challenges.
Okay.
Right?
Not,
easy.
Okay.
Just do some stuff, win some prizes.
So far, so good.
What if I told you you are hypnotized while doing it?
Ooh.
What?
Hypnotized.
Yes!
Go on.
Five strangers team up to try and win a cash prize by completing incredibly simple challenges while hypnotized.
So the hypnotism part keeps them from doing the incredible easy stuff?
Or it just makes it funny. Like you have to cook scrambled eggs, but you're a chicken. I'm making that up. Don't know if that's part of it. But
probably
not. Something like that. Right?
Okay.
Well...
I'll give it a couple of seasons and then somebody let me know if it's right. And then I'll check it out.
If you think you can go under and like to have fun, you can go to their website. It's YBITRcasting.com. So basically, you're back in the room.com. Good stuff. I'm in. Bean, we've got some DVD releases for you.
Yeah.
Downton Abbey, season 6.
What? It's still airing.
It says TV on DVD, Masterpiece,
really?
Downton Abbey, season
4 episodes
6.
Into the season, airing every week right now.
Is that it?
Really?
Because sometimes they'll do like the fall part of a season.
Yeah.
They'll put that out.
It just came back in January, this month.
Well.
Well, now you're telling me I don't have to wait a week at a time and watch it.
That doesn't make sense.
Nope.
No.
I'm calling
well, remember,
this story BS.
Remember it aired, you know,
it did
wrapped
air
up last
yeah.
fall, yeah,
okay.
in the UK. So.
Oh, all right.
All right. Unreal Season 1 and Doctor Who Series 9 Part 2.
Okay.
That's a lot of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Math is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Birthdays today, January 26th. Eddie Van Halen is 61. Hockey legend Wayne Gretzky is 55. TV show host, and I believe they call her America's sweetheart, Ellen DeGeneres is 58. YouTuber Robbie Novak, kid president from YouTube. You know him. Have sure. you seen him? He's super funny, super cute. I love him. He's turning 13 years old today. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, he is back tomorrow. Thank God and Yahweh.
Thank you, Allie. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Milana Weintraub in studio. Love her. We have a certain member of our family, Doto. Mm-hmm. Can I say, Bean? Am I allowed to say
yeah.
what we're talking about?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe getting married.
He might be getting
what?
Married.
You
his
heard me.
His
Before
girlfriend
me?
Is, his, his girlfriend is putting the pressure on him for a ring, and we need to talk to him about that and make sure that he's ready for the
Come
challenge.
On.
And then we're going
to
take your calls if you fought with a coworker. This is not based on any current story, you know, like the Clippers, Blake Griffin, who broke his hand by punching one of the equipment managers. That happened.
I bet our listeners have had nonstop fist fights at work. Nonstop. I bet some of our listeners are taking a break in a current fist fight to listen to this conversation. And then as soon as we hit the commercial, they're going to go right back to punching each other in the face.
So that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.